Mickey, are you like blowing the router or what? Oh, I guess he didn't hear me. Damn.
Huh? What?
I asked if you were performing fellatio on your router.
Oh, so I need to do the thingy, I guess. There we go.
I think that's a yes.
Yes, I think do the thingy is a yes in this context.
And no, I'm drinking a Dr. Pepper 10, so, yeah.
Well, there's no women here, so...
Fort Max counts.
And she died.
Three, two, one. And now it's time for another Superhero Time. With your hosts... XV.
Hey, Jake, them off.
Hey, Mickey.
I'm stuck in your mom's head.
Paladin.
Oh, yeah, we're in space. I hope that's cool.
Ken.
I only find the 12-year-olds.
And Fort Max.
No, it's not that big.
Okay, so it's superhero time. I'm XV, and we've got a packed house this week. We've got the usual cast of Hey, Mickey.
I am sworn to carry your burdens.
Paladin.
Yeah, I'm just here.
Ken.
Yo.
Fort Max.
Hello.
And our special guest from New Soundwave and Flail Throughs, Rob Clay.
Hi.
Because he loves Gokaiger.
Yes, I do.
And we've got a
good taste.
We've got a Gokaiger full week this week.
Yes.
So what do you mean?
Huh?
What does that mean?
What?
What you just said.
What, a Gokaiger full week?
Yes, and in what way?
In that it's full of Gokaiger and it's wonderful.
Like 2 hours.
I thought you were implying something else, like there's something else going on. But I, okay. Well,
2 hours of Gokaiger is kind of significant.
Just a little bit.
Even if it is anchored down with an hour of Gosager.
Details, details.
They're easily ignorable.
But before we get to all that, there was a lot of toy stuff because, what was it, Tamashii Features this past time?
Tamashii Nations.
Nations, whatever.
Their latest attempt to rape us through the bank account.
They're doing quite well, actually.
Happens every week.
This week especially.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there was
a
whole
ton
pile
of new unveilings at this show.
Piles and piles of it.
God.
So what can we look forward to not being able to buy in the future?
Well, Gosei Knight, probably.
Yes, it turns out FigureArts Gosei Knight is a Tamashii Web exclusive.
Of course. I'm not especially surprised by, to be honest.
Both he and Prototype are already up.
Both he and what?
Birth Prototype.
Birth. Who was also unveiled at the show.
Yeah.
Okay, say it again. Just one person.
Prototype Birth.
Okay.
Fort Max is special this week.
Special looking.
Maybe he has some lag.
Okay, so is Proto Birth an exclusive as well, or is he regular?
Exclusive.
Of course he's an exclusive. He's a minor recolor of the existing figure.
With two of the claw weapons.
That,
do they
know,
look better
to...
than the regular claw weapons?
Nope.
Okay.
No, it's still the
same
mold.
This time the drill head is covered with cell metals.
That's not this, the crane arm, actually.
Yeah, who could tell the difference?
Yeah.
It's a
they
thing
all look
that,
the same at that price point.
It's a thing, it goes on his arm and he hits things with it. I mean...
Pretty much.
There's
They've
not
all
that much
got
difference.
Those.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, looking at the figure, I still say Prototype Birth should have had the black and yellow warning stripes instead of just the red lines.
Yeah, definitely.
I still think the red lines work well, though.
Or he should have been colored like a toy prototype. All the wrong colors.
The melted like, face.
Yes.
And a great big not for sale etched into his chest. Except that wouldn't be proto birth. Technically, that'd be test shot birth.
Stolen test shot birth.
Yeah.
That's next year's exclusive.
Wait until O's returns, Kamen Rider Birth.
Yeah. I still want that to happen, by the way.
It might.
We get super
probably will.
Hopefully it's closer to, hopefully it's less Eternal and
more Excel.
Excel punches people, the movie.
Oh, Well, I preferred the Axel movie. I did like the Turtle one, mostly.
Well, you should have been here that week we talked about. We could have talked you out of it at the same time we talked Wingus out of it.
Alas.
I still haven't got around to watching it yet.
That's okay.
Not really that important.
No, not at all. Okay, so besides the exclusives that we actually kind of knew about already.
Well, from the Showa era, we have Figo Arts Kamen Rider Stronger.
I wonder if that'll ever actually get released.
Well, they're releasing every other Showa Rider at this point.
Yeah.
Stronger seems like the next logical leap.
Oh, and also Super Shinkengers.
Oh, God.
All of them.
Oh, God.
And Hyper Shinkenger.
And Gedo Shinken Red.
Yeah.
Somebody shoot me now.
Well, it's okay. They'll probably spread those out over a couple of years.
Hopefully.
Your mom spread out over a couple of years.
Although, you know, with the Supers and Hyper and Gedoshu Shinken Red, that's still like one every 2 months, even if it is spread over like 2 years.
And of course, whatever
what?
Decker is.
Juzo?
Yes.
Also exclusive, just like the Super Shinkengers.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just guessing on their exclusive status right now, but...
It makes
sense.
Yeah,
they gotta be.
And Decker Rangers.
But
that's
only
what's really important here.
Okay, here's the thing with the Decker Rangers, though, which somebody... I saw somebody pointed out on Twitter, and I hadn't noticed before that. They're using the Shinkenger upper arm design.
I'm not... Are they entirely? Because it doesn't look quite as obvious as it does on the Shinkengers.
Well,
they
don't
have the bicep joint that the Gokaiger Figo Arts does.
Right.
Yeah, unfortunately. But the shoulders don't look quite as, you know, broken up.
They might not be, but they're still not using the superior arm style that...
It might be more similar to, like, Kamen Rider 1, who also, you know, has kind of a... doesn't have armor all up in there, but he doesn't have the same kind of, shoulder thing going on as the Shinkenger Zoo.
Yeah, well, cool. Hopefully they have struck some kind of a happy balance between the styles, but otherwise I would really prefer to have the cut in the bicep and, you know, a functional upper arm swivel.
Yeah.
This should last for a long while. I think they could get at least a dozen uses out of the Decaranger series.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm just waiting on Decamaster.
Are you counting the SWAT?
Regardless of the shoulder type, they look fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you counting the SWAT versions in their Paladin and your dozen?
I would consider that a possibility. And
that's probably a different... It's... That's different enough. I think they might be able to do the mold a bit differently from there.
And I also think it's possible they might do the Battleizer in Figo Arts.
Possible.
Figo Arts Battle Thong.
You know...
If they're doing Gedo Shinken Red, then...
It is very possible.
And Murphy will be a web exclusive, of course.
No. What I'm thinking with this is that Battleized Decker Red will be a Tamashii Nation, a show exclusive, not a web exclusive.
Well, those show exclusives a lot of times do end up being web exclusives later on anyway. Like with
sell all of them.
No, it's like with Kamen Rider Joker. It was originally a show exclusive, and then like 6 months later, they put it on the web.
In a slightly modified version.
Not that much, though.
I think they changed the plastic finish on it.
They did with when they re-released Skull Crystal.
Just so they would be distinct, I'm pretty sure that Joker had a more matte plastic in the web version.
I think so. Well, no, I think he was matte in the show version too. Because I remember seeing a review on that before the web version even came out.
What's important here, though, is that the power chamber was in the basement.
Okay.
And
sure.
Unfortunately, we will probably not see a Figo Arts Orange Ranger.
Oh. Well, I don't know. They have, you know, SPD on their, like, on-demand cable or whatever, so...
I guess, but...
They have a two-pack with Aubrey Pink.
The reason we got
this. Yes.
Well, they probably wouldn't do that until they started doing Mega Ranger Figo Arts, so...
Oh, they can just paint over the helmet to get the visor shape. It'll be fine. Well, I bet you there's somebody in Japan dedicated enough to make a SPD Orange custom out of one of these when they come out.
Yeah.
Someone will try.
It wouldn't be that hard.
And then, you know, they'll get sued to death. Like the person who made the Utopia
Well,
DuPont
if they
custom.
Sell it.
But that's a conversation for a different day.
No, let's go ahead and have the conversation now. There's not enough stuff to talk about this week.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Dino figure arts.
Yeah.
Form, finally, and the four Imagine in their furry costumes.
And five Imagine.
Five.
I didn't see a picture of Deneb in a furry costume.
Yeah, he was there in the tiger suit.
Yeah.
Okay, well, six, I guess the...
six Imagine if you count Teddy.
But he doesn't have a furry suit.
Right.
No, he doesn't have a furry
suit. And no one counts Teddy anyway, because he sucks.
I like Teddy.
Poor Teddy. Teddy, the forgotten Imagine.
Well, let's make an Imagine with no personality whatsoever.
His personality is exposition.
He will be hollow, so you can pick him up and hit things with him.
I don't know. I feel like watching him because he's like a super serious contrast to all the others. That's just me.
The idea works in theory, but in execution, he just comes across as not like having anything added to the show.
Mind you, I will note that the only time I've seen Teddy is in Let's Go Kamen Rider, so...
Have you not watched any other Deno, Ken?
I've watched half of the TV series. I haven't finished it yet.
Okay, so that would explain why you haven't gotten in any of the movies where he appears.
Yeah, I think
not that you'll get any more out of that than you did out of Let's Go. In fact, in Let's Go, he probably has his most personality to date.
Yeah, other than that, he pretty much shows up as an excuse to be a toy.
He finally is one now.
Well, technically, he's been one since, 2009 when the first new Deno Strike Forum came out and came with the Masha Teddy. But I believe we're getting off base slightly. Surprise, surprise.
They revealed some new Ryuki figure arts and one that's sort of Ryuki, but not really.
Ryuga?
No.
Figo Arts Abyss.
From Decay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was surprising, sort of.
Well, it never struck me before. It's like, why they didn't release him before is because they didn't have a Ryuki body yet, so...
Right. Yeah, that would help, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And that's sadly, even considering his unusual status, he'll still probably have better distribution than Kamen Rider Femme. Because Japan.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Plus, so he's got Decade to carry him.
Yeah. So it's like...
And also, kick Max Factory.
Him, so. On the one hand, we'll be lucky if Bandai ever gets to Femme, while Max Factory made Siren, while Max Factory can never make Abyss, so I guess it balances out a little bit.
But the figures aren't really compatibly scaled, are they?
No, that's why Siren just kind of stands in the background of my display.
Yeah. Well... Well, that's true to how Japan portrayed her, too.
There is that.
That's just her, really.
Before we get off the figure arts, it's not exactly Toku-related, but Master Asia finally came back.
Finally!
And but is there a Super Asia?
But
don't know, don't
besides
care.
Besides that, there's even more G-Gundam figure arts than just that. Because there was also a Rain and an Allenby on display.
Shockingly.
But what about the horse?
Well, actually, didn't they have? Didn't they show a kind of stand that's a horse?
Yeah, that was unrelated to anything. But there was a Tamashii stage that is just a brown horse and a white horse.
I'm sure that was developed so that it could go with Master Asia at some level,
or Shinken Red.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of stuff that they could apply a horse to.
Yeah.
So while it might not be the mobile
both of them would
suit
need armor of some type, which
well it might not be the mobile suit horse, Master Asia can still have his horse.
Yeah, I guess there is that.
Personally, I prefer the coffee table version of the mobile horse, but what can you do? Just for the horrible contortion that poor horse must go through.
Yes.
The funny thing about the Rain and Allenby figure arts is that they had, of course, those signs where it says no cameras, and then they got revealed on the official Gundam site. Whoops. Because they took a picture of Master Asia with them in the peripheral.
Yeah.
Of course.
But was there also a picture of the no camera sign?
I believe there was, yes.
I guess it was.
It's nice to know that those signs are taken so seriously so little in Japan that even Bandai doesn't bother with
them. In fact, I think I believe there was actually two of those signs in the one photo.
Yeah, there's like one on either side of Master Asia.
Yeah. Super Robot Shogokin had several new things on display.
Yeah, but first, we're not done with all the new Figo arts yet.
Cripes, aren't we?
No. There's also Complete Ankh and both of the Dinosaur Greed.
Oh yeah, Eiji and Maki.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Figuarts human Maki with the doll.
I'd rather have a human Ankh, honestly.
Or
on
just
a human Kogami.
Or just like Figuarts the doll.
Ooh. I don't know. I'd be afraid that thing would come to life at night.
It could be like it could be just like a 1-to-1 scale representation of the doll.
I don't know about that.
That's a little too frightening even for Maki.
I'm not sure much is too frightening for Maki.
But yeah, I'm behind a Kogami Figuarts. The thing is, though, you'd have to have like 10 or 12 different ones just to represent all his various outfits.
Well, why not? They have that many of O's.
Yeah.
Web exclusives.
All of them.
The boa would end up being an event exclusive.
No, Thomas
would cost $50.
It'd be effect parts.
Yeah.
And you'd pay for it.
Boa effect parts. Cake oven sold separately.
I missed the boa driver.
Okay, so
there was also Forza's Elect State, Fire State, a whole bunch of the Switches, all of which are also probably web exclusive. Figuarts Zero of Powerdizer.
No, actually, I think they're doing the Zodiart Switch as just a regular deluxe toy like they did with the first Dopant Memory.
But the only thing it would say so far is just
last one. What I heard, it's supposed to say all the names of the Zodiarts revealed in the show so far.
Kind of wish that one in the show actually did that.
Might be nice.
It'd be too much like the Gaia Memories, though.
It already is.
I know, but to actually have it say the name of it too, that'd just be like really pushing.
But you know, the Switches when Forza plugs them in the belt, they say their own names. So,
well, it's just another example of how Forza is not terribly well written. They can't really get their own gimmick laws down.
Well, it only applies.
Well,
to,
I mean, what belt do they put? Well, I don't see them putting the Zodiart Switches in the belt.
Well, it's the belt talking, not the Switches, though. So, because the Switches don't make any sounds themselves.
Well, whatever. Forza still sucks. That's the important thing you should be taking away from my statement.
Moving on.
Right!
Are we done with figure arts?
Well, almost. There's one release that's similar to
Second page!
How many pages? You don't want to know.
You should have seen my exasperation when he said, well, almost.
Anyway, yes, Paladin.
The last one relevant to what we have to say is Ultra Act Gridman.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, actually, there was a lot of Ultra Act and SH Monster Arts all over the place there.
The Gridman is kind of important, though. I was kind of excited to see that.
Yeah. I've been meaning to pick up some Ultra Acts, but I think I might pick that one up, too.
That's What's a similar scale to Figuarts, isn't it?
I think they're like a little bit taller. Just a little.
But it doesn't really matter.
Close enough to work, then.
Yeah, I think it's about close. Because, I mean, even in Figuarts, some of the stuff can vary a little bit. Like, say, Wild Tiger is just like a smidge taller than some of my Kamen Riders or Sentai guys.
Yeah, a lot of his stuff was on display, too.
Is that before or after Wild Tiger's hip snaps off?
I'm very careful with my Figuarts. Especially after War Greymon.
Well, you can always slather some Crisco on it.
Hopefully his next release won't have that same problem. Because apparently his first costume was on display with the Figuarts, too.
Oh, no, the original costume, Wild Tiger, is a Figuarts Zero, and it's going to be an event exclusive, I think.
That's depressing.
Of course.
I believe I saw a banner on one of the Japanese sites reflecting that several weeks ago.
Several weeks ago.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But yeah, they're doing re-releases of Tiger and Bunny with the masks open, right?
Yeah. That pisses me off just a little bit.
I assume those aren't going to have the closed faces as well.
Of course not.
No, of course not. That would be too simple.
Part swap it?
Well, yeah, but then you'd have to buy... What, Rob?
I was just going to say, was anybody else really happy to see that Trunks is going to come with both heads because they knew the American market wouldn't put up with that crap?
Well, it's not just that.
The beginning.
It's not just that. I think It was either on their Facebook page or on Twitter that Tamashii Nation said flat out that Trunks having a non-Super Saiyan head was in response to requests from the American audience to not just be stuck with Super Saiyan-only figures.
Yeah, that never made sense to me.
But, you know, the current Dragon Ball figures that are being developed and released are essentially for the American market first anyway, so it makes sense that they're paying more attention to what we want out of these. In which case, where the hell is my pink shirt Vegeta?
Tamashii Web Store.
Damn it!
Yeah, I'd buy that.
I'd pay money for a nickel.
I need a Vegeta in the Batman shirt. Okay, so moving on to Super Robot Chogokin.
Which will take another hour.
Damn it.
Because God almighty, there's a lot of them.
I think what's important to start with is Daijujin.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
And Ryusei also.
That's
incredibly surprising.
It is very surprising, yeah, that they did Ryusei-O and not Dairon-O.
Well, Ryusei-O was the team's mecha for a good while.
Yeah, it had just as many wins as Dairon-O. Blank on the game for a second.
We could just call it the Thunder Megazord. That would be fine, too.
There you go.
But yeah, seeing Daijujin was surprising.
Yeah, I think seeing the top of Geki Toja's head was actually a little more surprising.
Well, I mean, it's because it's like in Japan, G-Ranger is just, you know, it's just another one of the Sentai. It's not necessarily, besides introducing the concept of the Sixth Ranger and keeping it, I mean, it's just another Sentai, basically.
Yeah. Doesn't have and Geki Ranger doesn't seem to be anything notable in Japan either.
Yeah. It seems like they're basically just going whole hog into doing as many of these as possible until they stop being profitable.
Well,
or because they want to say screw you to the Retro Fire series.
This is a good motivation.
It's good too, though, because, you know, for the longest time I wanted something like Super Robot in Action or Sentai Robot in Action, similar to the Gundam action figures that were around before. And, you know, most of these Super Robot Chogokins are more than I'm willing to pay, but if they come out with the right thing, like Dragon Zord Fighting Mode, they'll get some money out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Geki Rintoja, definitely.
Ooh, that would be nice. But right now, it's like half of, like, one third of Super Robot Chogokin is Super Sentai, the other third is Galgaigar, and then everything else in the last third.
What's in the last third?
Everything else.
Oh.
Super Robot Wars and various other miscellaneous mecha series.
I'm just wondering, though, if Ryusei or Red Dragon Thunder Zord will end up having, you know, add-on parts to do Thunder Megazord, or if they'll...
I think they would do a whole nother one, because from what everything I've read and heard, what you have to do to, like, Figure Arts Birth to put all his option parts on is kind of frightening.
Really?
You have to, like, dismantle parts of him.
They're having that same argument over another item that was revealed this weekend, Shinken Gokaio in Super Robot Shogokin.
Yeah, I think that's a whole other mold.
Yes.
Probably.
Well, Super Robot Shogokins, they're metal, right?
Partly. They have parts die-cast, usually in the legs.
I would feel very uncomfortable about sliding parts over painted metal. That was tough to scrape off like nobody's business.
Yeah, like, exactly. Let me grab Shinkano here. His metal is like on the sides of his legs. It armors the sides of both of his legs, and I can only imagine like just sliding something over that. That would scare the hell out of me.
Let's get some steel wool and see what happens.
Nah.
That's what his socks are made out of. To keep his feet warm.
And also there was Ghost Gokaio. I'm guessing that's yet another Tamashii Web exclusive.
I would imagine. I'm surprised there weren't like even add-on parts for Deluxe Gokaio to do that.
They could get more money this way.
There's enough differences. You get stuff slapped on all over the limbs and whatnot. It's not like where it just opens up and you just plug something in, I don't think.
It's just like, it's the first summer movie I can think of where the special Megazord in it doesn't have a deluxe toy version. So that always struck me a little odd. But, you know, Gokaiger is all about breaking the trends.
What about Bokinger?
What about Bokinger?
What, did they have a special Megazord?
Didn't
they have that red chest plate for Dai Voyager?
No. In Bokinger's movie, Dai Tankin, which was what we got as the double drive Megazord, I think.
Dual drive.
Oh, the black.
No, not the black. Not the black. The jet with the drill and shovel and cement mixer and what was the other one? The crane. When they took all the auxiliary Zords and made a Megazord out of that, that was the movie exclusive one.
Oh, okay.
So it had a deluxe toy, but not a special one, just a special configuration of the existing toys.
That was a weird year.
It was weird.
It was another anniversary year, so.
Yeah. It was weird, but I mean, there was a deluxe toy of what they did there. So, I mean, it still kind of follows. I'm pretty sure that Gokaiger is the first to not have a specific deluxe toy to represent the movie Megazord. But anyway, Paladin.
Let's see. Not to be totally outdone, Armor Plus put on another good showing at the festival.
Okay, now since you mentioned, I'm curious, how big are Armor Plus figures? I mean, how do they scale to, like, Figuarts stuff?
They're a couple inches taller than Figuarts.
Okay.
Well, like SIC scale?
I don't have any SIC, so I couldn't compare.
I like that the question is always, how do they scale to Figuarts?
Well, a lot of stuff matches Figuarts size, you know.
Yeah, it does.
Old Power Rangers figures.
The Module Change series.
So Chaku Henshin, later ones. You know, I mean, it's a common scale.
Oh, yeah. It's just a show of how, you know, how much figure arts is all over the place now.
Yeah. Okay, so what was in Armor Plus now, Paladin?
Well, of course, they're showing off the Ronin Warriors yet again.
Yes.
And another pre-order opened today. So I'll be adding that to my list.
For who?
For which one?
Sai. Huh.
Sai.
That was the one that they had an accent in the dub, right?
Yeah.
I think most of them had accents in the dub.
Yeah, but he was especially.
He was British, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least he thought he was British.
He was space British?
He was Japanese British.
He was Japanese Canadian space British.
Oh, God.
Which I'm pretty sure trumps Fort Max's space Australian.
So that means there's
just a New Zealand accent.
Okay, so besides the Ronin Warriors, what was in the Armor Plus?
They also showed off two more Technoman figures that I never expected to see. Well, technically one, but there's a repaint of it. They're actually making the Techno suit. I never expected to see this.
What's the Techno suit?
It's the human-operated mech suit based on Technoman design.
So, like, Technoman mass production version?
Yes. Well, not exactly mass production. It's just human-made. There's only one of them.
Oh, okay. Then how come there's a recolor?
Version 2.0.
Oh. Upgrades. Upgraded paint job.
Of course, since every other release in this series has been Thomas U. Webb exclusive, there's no reason to assume this won't be.
Right.
It could be an event.
That would be cruel. So, yes, I imagine so.
It's Bandai, so of course. Just answer your own question.
Yep. All right, so anything else from the toy show?
Thankfully, I think that's everything for us.
Damn.
Unless we want to go into D-Arts.
That depends what it was in D-Arts.
Is there a base EXE figure?
Not yet.
Well,
Zero and Vile so far.
Zero version 2, Vile. They had a broken ride armor on display behind him. I'm not sure if that was just a prop or if they're actually going to be releasing something like that.
No, somebody probably tripped and dropped it.
There was lots of Persona 4.
Oh, and Gallenmon, so yeah, he exists again.
Yes,
hey.
Dukemon, finally!
Oh, and wasn't there some King of Fighters on display?
Yeah, there's a bunch of King of Fighters, I think, but they mainly were showing off Terry Bogard.
You'd think they would be more showing off Mai.
In due time, I imagine.
Yeah.
They should articulate her boobs.
They probably will, because Figuarts Amazon had articulated pectorals.
Yep, he did.
Fantastic. So that was probably like proof of concept for it.
Yeah, we'll test this out.
They should make it such like there's like a wind up thing in their back so they shake.
But yeah, Duke Mott.
Or if it's or if it's like a couple of those Yoko figures from Gurren Lagann, they'll just be squishy soft plastic.
But they actually have a release of 2012 on Duke Mott's card, so maybe they'll actually release him this time.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
Master Asia has to come out first.
2011 ends in another month.
So 2012.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless they try to squeeze him out by the end of this year, it has to be 2012.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course.
I think Ken's point was more that there was a release time marked on the card, however
which
vague.
Which it didn't have before, it just had its name.
Which a lot of other ones don't have.
Yeah, so yeah, you're never sure if they're actually... Little...
I wish I knew the Japanese for we're just screwing around with our 3D printer again, guys. Don't mind us.
Yeah, it's like...
I believe that... Little finger.
It's like with the Persona, the Persona 4 display. They had all the Personas up on one shelf, and then right below them they had all the humans, but all the humans looked like Figure Art Zero. No articulation, just basically little basically statues.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would actually pay for those, but I don't think they're going to make all of those.
No, they're Bandai. They're never going to make all of those.
Metal
Garurumon. Metal Garurumon was shown first, and... That was...
I wanted the Diaboromon.
I think that wasn't even articulated, though. That was just, like, a display piece, it almost looked like.
I want a Leomon I can kill over and over again.
There's so many to choose from, too.
But to Mickey's earlier question, I'd be all over EXE-styled Mega Man figures.
Yeah, yeah, nobody's doing that because you got Kotobukiya doing Classic and Zero and Mega Man Zero in the model kits, and you got D-Arts doing X, but... Nobody's touching the DS games, or the DS and GBA games, I should say.
Damn,
base EXE would sell like fire.
Yeah, it was it's the best base ever looked.
And plus, base EXE was awesome.
Well, yeah. Especially in the stuff that we didn't actually get released here officially.
I just remember most from the manga.
Oh.
Compared Mega Man to gnawed meat left hanging on a bone. Awesome.
The EXE manga was insane, but kind of in an awesome way.
Yeah.
I want a DR Steel Massimo. I don't care if nobody else knows who the f*** that is.
I know who he is. I would
well,
like
good a... for you.
Is that a brand of surfboard?
So, is that it for the news?
Well, there's some other toys that came out this week, but they all kind of pale in comparison to this crap.
Stuff came out this week? I couldn't tell through the deluge of Japanese toys.
Armor Plus Rowan and the Power Dizer.
The Deluxe Power Dizer with the bike.
Yeah. I need to look into that.
I completely forgot that existed.
I'm actually interested in looking at it now that the Power Dizer just has not disappeared.
Yeah, I was going to say, I completely forgot that it existed, but somehow the show hasn't.
Usually it's the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they didn't forget about it. They knew the toy was coming.
I guess, but even so.
And I might look into that. I like the look of the Power Dizer.
Yeah. And the bike will be in scale when the figure arts comes out, so.
More or less.
Yeah.
Or the module change.
Yeah. I'm not into getting the rest of the module change series right now because Elect States looks like such crap.
And Figure Arts Elect
just like
States
the show.
Looks...
No, Figure Arts Elect States looks fine. I was going to say,
Figure Arts Elect States looks pretty remarkable with how they've replicated the shiny gold fabric.
Yeah, I mean, it looks... The Figure Arts looks great, but the module changes, he's yellow. He's just like this weird yellow.
Yeah, that's Bandai can't match that color yellow. You find that in a lot of stuff that's supposed to be gold, but they can't paint. Matches.
Well, yellow is hard to paint to match.
It is, but
look at Bumblebee.
On the same figure.
Well, yellow is hard.
Look at Bumblebee.
Yellow is hard to match, but it's even harder to match when you're trying to match gold paint with bare plastic.
Oh, that brings back some memories.
Yeah, I kind of thought so.
The MS and Action Strike Freedom Gundam is, if you ever get a chance to look at that, that has some of the ugliest yellow-brown plastic for where the gold joint should be. It's
yeah. Okay. It's say also, that again. Let me type that into Google here. I want to look at this.
It's also, okay. It's also Strike Freedom.
Yeah, Strike Freedom.
Oh, well, yeah.
You really got, you only needed to really stop there, but more making it. How can you make Strike Freedom worse?
They did it.
That doesn't sound possible.
And I'm actually, not... Figure Art Shink and Gold has a similar problem with the
ew.
Wrist. The, yeah. Shink and Gold's wrist joints are that kind of muddy, dull yellow color to no, try to match the gold paint on the arm and hand.
It doesn't seem like quite as glaring on Shink and Gold, though. God, I never really even noticed it.
Yeah, it's probably because of the shade of gold Shink and Gold is. It's a closer match.
It might also be lighting, because it doesn't really show up on mine.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean. His wrist joint. Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah, I
understand that.
It's also the fact that I'm sure Shink and Gold was not basically designed around the idea that these, you know, that the gold joints would be the distinguishing part of the design, like Strike Freedom is.
Anybody have a link to this?
I closed it out, sorry.
Okay, here, let me just Google.
Just Strike Freedom toy.
Yeah, so here's the distinguishing part of the design, and we've made it as ugly as possible.
That's Bandai.
Yep,
oh, that's Jesus
Bandai.
Christ.
Well, see, the thing is, too, with that, it's a more unusual case of Bandai Japan screwing something up really basically like that.
Yeah.
Where usually that's not exactly the problem you run into. On the other hand, there was the Mara side, but we're getting way off subject
wow,
here.
Wow, I did not yeah. know you could make that any uglier.
There's
amazing, isn't it?
It's incredible.
Now, did we ever establish if the Robot Damashi version did any better for that?
You know, I did not.
While we're on that anyway, and I have to edit all this out, we might as well go ahead and look at that.
That's what she said.
So Robot Damashi Strike Freedom.
I'm not really sure how to interpret that sound followed by deafening silence.
I don't want to know.
Well, this doesn't count. This is like hand painted.
That guy's compensating for something.
But anyway,
no,
if that's... What?
It's still got the problem.
Of course it does.
I don't like Robot Damashi's anyway, so...
Yeah, me either.
Or Strike Freedom, so...
Me either. Because it makes me remember that Gundam Seed Destiny happened.
And that's always an unfortunate thing.
Yes. Okay, so...
God! They thought that was a good idea. Why?
It's like they lubed his joints with honey Dijon mustard.
Are we sure they didn't? It is Bandai, after all.
On the other hand, I am all for actually making Strike Freedom look horrible, too. So it does have that. It does have that kind of going for it.
Worst part is that there somewhere out there, there is a single photo of a Gundam Stray Gold frame that was going to get released here but didn't, and it has all the same problems.
Oh, God, I can only imagine.
I think I still have that photo saved somewhere.
I know I do, but not that, on this computer.
As long as it didn't die with the other hard drive, that's fine.
No, I'm pretty sure I have all that. I hope I have all that.
But instead of reliving, you know, the year 2004, why don't we move on with the show?
Okay.
Yes.
So was that all the news now, 40 minutes later?
Yes, that's all of it now.
New Samurai stuff is out at...
No, no, Fort Max, that's all. The end.
That's all that we're talking about.
He said Samurai, that's enough.
You do not need the samurais, guys.
We only have a short allotment of time to talk about Samurai this week, and I think we need to focus that into Clash of the Red Rangers.
This is more that Toys R Us has big pallets of new stuff.
And all of it sucks because it's Samurai. Move on.
Again, the basic Samurai figures aren't terrible. You know, I mean, they're not like Hasbro little figures, but they're not terrible.
Yeah, that's the
they're acceptable for $6.
Like,
I don't know about that, but they'd be a lot more acceptable for $4. But at least they're not...
Well, sure, in 1998 they would be, but
at least they're not $9 like Marvel Universe.
Yeah,
there's that.
That would be insulting.
Or $20 like the Marvel Legends.
Well, those aren't 4 inches tall though. No, the ones
that doesn't
the,
mean they weren't bad.
The comparable thing that is $20 and is 4 inches tall is the Justice League Unlimited figures.
Oh God. I mean, this Justice League Unlimited articulated statues.
Yeah.
Well, that's
don't they call those Young Justice toys now?
Is finally
yeah,
over.
They do actually. They have that. You know, it's not like there's a show or anything.
Well, there didn't used to be a show, but now there is.
Oh, there actually is now? I haven't been paying attention.
Well, sometimes there is.
Sometimes.
When Cartoon Network feels like it.
The running joke of the 9-month hiatus is over with.
Aww.
Yeah.
Until the next 9 months.
I just didn't even notice, to be
because Cartoon Network.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Welcome once again to Paladin's Place, preferred provider of mechanized melee. The creators of Super Robot Chogokin now seem to be directly targeting my wallet, because this series' latest release comes from my all-time favorite Sentai. Bastards. So once again, let's go into the action with Super Robot Chogokin Decaranger Robo.
Megazord sequence has been initiated!
Everything I said about SRC in previous reviews stays true in this one, perfectly capturing the Megazord design through a combination of superb detail and high-quality material. Decaranger Robo's design, which uses relatively simplistic vehicle zords, is probably the easiest SRC transition to date, lacking the kibble or excess bulk that occasionally brought out the negative qualities in previous releases. Articulation remains excellent, of course. Decaranger Robo is able to adopt a variety of poses without any loss of stability. With multiple releases now, Super Robot Chogokin is falling into the same pattern as SH Figuarts. Virtually every release is good, but it's always the same kind of good, so describing the actual quality of the mold can only go so far. What truly sets this Super Robot Chogokin release apart from others is the accessories. Decaranger Robo brings its complete arsenal to this series, including the Judgment Sword, Signal Cannon, and the massive Gyro Handcuffs. Even at this smaller scale, Decaranger Robo can still incorporate most of its weapons into Megazord form when not in use. There's a small fold-out holster on the right leg for the signal cannon and a downsized sword holster for the right arm, once again showing off the ingenuity of Super Robot Chogokin designers. Finally, Decaranger Robo carries the Judgment Scanner on his left arm, but there is only one visual option for the scanner, but that's not a big loss. But that's not all Decaranger Robo has to offer. Also included in this release is a downsized version of Patch Striker, designed to combine with previously released Super Robot Chogokin Gokaio. The Patch Striker separates to form tiny armor bits while sectors of Gokaio fold open so both can combine for Deca Gokaio. The fact that this combination even exists at the reduced scale offered by SRC is really remarkable and definitely makes me optimistic about future releases in this series. As a massive Decaranger fan, it's almost impossible for me to review this release objectively, but I can't really find anything negative about Super Robot Chogokin Decaranger Robo. It's a fantastic figure which also increases the play value of an equally awesome previous release. This one is absolutely recommended for collectors. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Superhero Time.
And now, back to action with Superhero Time.
Okay, so, why don't we quickly go over what happened this week on Power Rangers Samurai.
Samurai Forever.
We have to.
They took an episode and two movies and crammed them into 40 minutes, and it makes no sense whatsoever.
There's basically two things worth mentioning in it. One, Scott can't demorph because he's afraid they can't breathe their air.
You know what would have been a better way to explain why he can't demorph?
His morph was broken.
No.
Because they couldn't recharge. They didn't
exactly
have a link to the morphers, so they couldn't recharge them.
Exactly, something they established within RPM itself. The morphers have to be recharged between every use.
That would require them to have watched RPM.
Yes, I know.
Or it would also have required them to give a shit.
See, at first, I liked the fact that they at least got his actor back to voice him.
No, they didn't.
They didn't.
Nope.
It I looked someone who sounds a lot like him.
Yeah, they got a sound alike. I looked at the credits
first. That's what I thought at first. But then I listened further, and then his voice would randomly change to somebody else.
I looked at the credits, and there's only one person credited for the role, and it's not Eka Darvill. That was the right name, right?
No, it sounded like him at first, but
I don't
then
know if that's how you pronounce it, but yeah, that's it.
But then as it went on, it's like there were lines that randomly would change to another actor, it seemed like.
It was just the actor they got's ability to imitate the voice varying depending on the line, I guess.
God.
Kind of like the same thing that happened with Antonio.
Yeah, because I was only kind of like halfway paying attention to it anyway. Yeah.
That was more than it deserved.
Because what happened apparently was that this was filmed after they had already wrapped production for the series.
Yeah, that was pretty clear just because most of them had different hairstyles.
Yeah, and I believe Antonio's actor mentioned that he had like some conflict with his band. For a recording session for his band
Wait, they never showed him in full, did they?
No, the only time he was head. The only time he was unmorphed, they showed him from behind fishing off a pier.
Yeah, and then his fishing cooler magically turned into a sushi cart.
Well, no, he just happened to run over to an area where somebody had abandoned the sushi cart.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It just conveniently said gold sushi on it, that's all.
Yes.
And there was a lantern there that he picked up for some reason.
Yeah, there's a lantern that is his weapon. I guess he pulled that randomly to use later on, just like they pulled the disc out of their ass later on.
Probably literally.
Yeah, probably literally.
The run-to-use disc.
Yeah.
That they used more than once. So,
yes.
They have a bunch of those run-to-use discs.
They're
free samples.
Yeah.
It randomly creates a Zord, just because.
They're using them as coasters around the mansion.
I like how they
they're like the equivalent of Galvatron's arm cannon.
I like that they have... Like the Super Mode and Akumaro, who have not even been introduced yet in the show.
Yeah. What they ended up
they can't
named...
actually keep to proper order with anything samurai related.
They named Akumaru in the dialogue, but I don't remember what they called him.
Did they?
And I don't care to look it up again. Moving on.
Yeah. but Mickey, you said something on Twitter about a reference that you didn't get from Go On Juror.
Yeah, I'm
that...
so embarrassed that it took Samurai to explain it to me.
Oh, well, I can't pick out what you were talking about, so
okay,
I'm kind of
okay,
curious.
Here's the deal. Okay, the big final battle where they somehow miraculously edit out the other eight Rangers. But anyway, okay, so when Red Samurai Ranger does the symbol magic and summons the car.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a whole play on him using the symbol magic to summon the horse.
Oh,
the car
okay.
he summons is a Mustang, which is a pony car.
Right.
So it's still he's still summoning a horse.
Right.
Yeah.
And it,
okay.
I missed that all this time. And
I like how they got the
samurai to tell me the joke.
I like how they mix up the appearances of the hyperforms so that's backwards, and then make that much less sense because when he hands Scott the disc, it's like. People, if you hadn't seen this before, you're like, what the – why would – that doesn't even –
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't even matter if you cared or watched about Shinkenger or Goanja or anything like that or even RPM. Just watching Samurai straight out, it makes no freaking sense.
The thing about this too is they took episode 36 of Shinkenger, all the parts that did not have to do with Yellow having a focus –
So, guess who's not getting a super mode?
They took, then, of course, the Go On Your Shinkanger team-up movie, but they also took that, 5.5-minute Shinkanger summer movie.
The 20-minute one, yes.
And used all of its fight footage at the end of this, too, just because, oops, we ran out of stuff to use, because we had to cut out eight other characters.
And see, the bad thing is, I could see how they could have, like...
And this is, I think, only the second time that they've actually used one of the actual theatrical movies in Power Rangers ever.
Yeah, what was the first time?
O-Ranger, the movie.
Okay, so here's the part that, aside from the whole not demorphing thing, the thing that just blew my mind is the end of the movie when the other Shinkangers come back, and then... yellow or pink leans into Scott and says, "Your team says hi."
What dicks?
Okay. Okay. If you're already established, you don't have to pay any new actors because you're not going to, you know, show anybody demorphed. What was wrong with using the original footage of the entire teams together?
And what's what's really bad is that they show the laser. Where are those laser blasts coming from when they're attacking? Because that was the Go-Angers attacking, and then they just flip that same scene over again.
They really just flip all the Go-Angers for no reason.
Yeah, they literally flip the footage of attacking what's his face, twice. It's just.
Basically, what we can extrapolate from all this is that Clash of the Red Rangers was one of the most horrific editing messes I've ever seen in Power Rangers.
It's some season 3 right there.
No. It still doesn't touch the Zootopia fights used in season 2.
Oh, where the Megazord would randomly switch between Thunder and Original?
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
Close.
Yeah, it's close, but still, I this is some pretty special messed up. I mean,
they put it together in a weekend.
Yeah,
the weekend it aired.
Oh, so it's more
one of
like
the stupidest things I've ever seen, and I watched all of Go Sager.
Well, that explains why we only got footage of it last week. I mean, or even pictures.
Yeah, yeah, but it's amazing.
Also,
it's amazing how those
they have the. Well,
damn
apparently
it,
we also know what the well,
yes,
this version of the Denliner would be.
Oh, a subway.
That subway for what
for second reason.
Yeah, that's the low budget Denliner.
No shit.
Where they only have to go and pay the cost of, you know, fare to get into the subway station.
Although I did learn that apparently New Zealand has subways.
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah.
I mean, Tennessee doesn't even have subways.
There's Atlanta.
Atlanta has MARTA, though.
That's...
It's
moving
MARTA.
Moving on. That's MARTA.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We'll move on.
Neither did the writers.
I was going to say something before when Fort Max was talking over me, but I've completely forgotten now.
Can we discuss something worth watching now?
Forze!
Sweet. I was just waiting for that one.
Go for it, Ken.
Done with Samurai? Okay, so last time we left, Forze blew up the locker, apparently. Whoops. Which, of course, now means that, supposedly, Kingo is stuck on the moon.
You know, all these qualifiers you're adding are kind of spoiling the end already.
Well, they did that in the preview.
Yeah, they already kind
Doesn't matter. Shut up.
Anyway, if it's not obvious already. Space Uva, or Pixis, or Makaze, whatever you want to call him.
Creeper.
What's that?
Creeper.
Creeper! Okay! The Creeper Zodi Arts mocks Yuki, and then prances off, saying there's plenty more shooting stars out there for him, while leering at Miyu the whole time. Which is not creepy at all.
I'm sure she
gets
that a lot.
I liked his comment that he didn't want someone who'd been spoiled by an idiot like Gentaro.
Yeah! As, you know, pot calling kettle black. Mm. However, now Kingo is trapped on the moon. He takes it quite well. By which I mean, he flips the hell out. And in the opening, we get footage from the movie, because it's opening in about 12
what,
days.
3 weeks? Oh.
Yeah, next...
we will see it in about 10 months.
Yeah. Of course, they relegate all of the double footage to the sponsor spot. But there's still some. They still show a little bit of it now.
And we get the best play ever.
Ugh. Oh yes, they're them telegraphing the what their names are based on, plus randomly Gintaro in Stronger's outfit. Anyway, back to the show, Forze launches his bike into space with a Powerdizer, but can only get just outside Earth's atmosphere. Thus, Gintara learns an important science lesson. The moon is very far away.
Yes, on AllSpark, I went over several reasons why that wouldn't work anyway.
Yeah, because people have been complaining about why didn't he use the rocket switch?
Well, there's no excuse for why I didn't show him trying to use the rocket switch, but there's plenty of valid scientific reasoning why, even if he did try, they wouldn't have gotten him anywhere fast.
I like to think that Gintaro is more perceptive than a lot of people give him credit for, which the show has actually gone out of its way to say. And he probably realized when about halfway through trying to swim there, like, there ain't no way in hell I'm getting over here.
You know, the swimming in space thing reminded me a lot of AG and the ride vendor.
Hopefully it won't get run into the ground over the course of the next year.
No, it'll just get segued off the cliff.
Oh, okay.
Hooray!
Swim.
Okay. Swim. Kingo freaked out some more, telling Gintaro that he and his club are useless because they can't get him off. And really, I kind of understand why he's...
I'm sorry, what?
I can't get him off.
Well played.
I missed a word there.
You did.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's probably that, too. The whole thing with Yuki, and he's a little frustrated. Anyway. They can't get him on the off the moon, so he's a little bit pissed off, which is kind of understandable.
So he goes and turns the gravity down so he can flip tables more effectively.
Yeah, or tear the Kamen Rider sign off the where they have it up all high up there.
On the wall?
The wall.
Yeah.
One of those things.
One of those things.
I got stuck there for a second.
One of them high up things.
Moving on. Tomoko realizes that something is amiss. While Jake calls the Antara to say that a bunch of girls in the school are suddenly going missing. Kingo, meanwhile, freaks out all on his own because, he thinks he's going to freaking die, which is...
He probably will.
Yeah, you know, oxygen eventually is going to run out. All that candy is going to sustain him up there.
Well, and the space age.
And space madness.
Well, even if the oxygen doesn't run out, which, you know, they haven't really addressed where the air supply comes from so far.
Comes into the locker when they open the door.
There would be limited food supplies and probably water, even recycling.
All they have strewn around there is junk food anyway. Because
you can't exactly eat the food droids.
even if he would, you know, recycle his own urine, that's only going to get him so far.
Yeah. Jake brings Gintaro and Shun to the astronomy club, where he's found pictures of all the missing girls up on a board, and a delightful little doodle of all of them on a bus going off a bridge.
Not a segue off a cliff.
No, this is just a bus because this guy is freaking psychotic.
Actually, remember Freakazoid? This kind of puts me in mind of Candlejack.
Oh God,
I'm gonna need a bus.
See, now I'm thinking of Veronica Mars.
Why?
Because there's a bus of students who went off a cliff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I never watched that show.
That's the only episode I saw, actually. Ironically.
How useful.
Yeah. Yuki, meanwhile, wants to see the school... chairman. See, apparently there was a translation error.
The chairman of the school board or some such.
Gamal is the chairman of the school board, not the school principal. Every translation we've read so far has been wrong thus far on that.
Well, it happens.
Which is not just overtime. It's
everybody.
The writer is still trying to figure out what the hell they're doing.
No,
that
it's
could
the
be
translator
it
trying to figure out what the hell they're doing.
It could be both.
Anyhow.
Anyway, Mr. Suspenders tells her no, but Miss Sonata suddenly cuts in and takes her right to him. There, Yuki tries to plead for him to somehow send the rocket into space.
Well, that school's pretty well equipped. They probably have a launch platform somewhere.
I'm expecting this before the end of the show, actually. Before she can fully explain why, Miyu suddenly cuts in and drags her off. Gamo tells Sonata that she has interesting students, and she makes a note of following his agenda. As she leaves, his eyes flash red. Then, conveniently, as Gintaro, Shun, and Jake rush off to stop Makise, Scorpio just coincidentally happens by them to stop them before, you know, they can get in front of... Yeah.
I'm not entirely convinced anymore that she's going to turn out to be Scorpio, but she's going to be one of the generals for sure.
One of those guys they keep showing off in the opening credits with no names yet.
Right.
It's kind of like you can't even dance around it now, as I am poorly trying to do.
Right.
Because she's definitely not a happy
camp. I mean, they were kind of subtle building up to her involvement, but they're kind of just blowing it open now.
Which I actually sort of appreciate. It's just kind of like, here's this is, we're not going to dance around it.
Well, they've got, what, 4 or 5 Zodiac generals to go through?
Yeah.
You know, Scorpio's story arc is probably going to end in the next 2 or 3 episodes.
I'm thinking the next couple episodes, but that's based off the preview.
I'm just saying, though, it explains why they're being less reserved about her status.
Yeah. Miyu explains that blabbing to the school faculty about Force A's secrets might not be the best idea, but Yuki breaks down because she doesn't know what to do to save Kengo because, you know, he's going to die. This moment interrupts, though, as Miyu suddenly goes marching off with no control over herself. Forze switches to Fire States to fend off Scorpio, but he escapes unharmed. Still,
although Fire States was doing pretty well to fend off Scorpio.
Fire beats bug types.
Exactly. I actually observed that while I was watching the episode.
And see, that popped in my head just because of this.
Exactly.
I was going to say it. I completely left it on my notes just because I know somebody else would beat me to it.
There you go.
But
it would be fire type beats the crawly, leggy type.
I cannot talk well today.
it's even harder to do when Fort Max is talking.
My sore throat's starting to kick back in. Anyway.
Nice.
Still, certainly delayed Gintaro. Space Uva is loading the girls onto a bus, and Gintaro races after it, telling Yuki to talk to Kengo and let him know they'll find a way to save him. Gintaro quickly catches up with the bus with a pretty cool on-bike transformation, actually. Yuki talks with Kengo, who starts to flip out again. He's doing a lot of that in this episode. If she is abandoning him, also, she tells him that everything Gintaro is doing is because it's what Kengo wanted him to do. Forze catches up with the bus, leaping on top, reeling the Pixis Zodiar out with a winch and rocket. Unfortunately, the bus doesn't stop because he's cut the brakes and is still controlling it.
See, what I want to know, though, you know, he untransforms for part of the time he's on the bus. So are his powers still working then, or what?
I'm not sure entirely. You don't really know. Do the powers still take effect if they're untransformed or not?
Yeah. See, that probably helped to have been explained
prior
to this.
Yeah, I wasn't really thinking much about that part, honestly.
But I was thinking when I was watching it, he's standing there in his human state. Wait, who's driving the bus?
Yeah.
Well, that seems kind of important.
Perpetual motion?
This is Japan.
They can't get Vulcan Skull to drive the bus again.
Well, if they did that, Goldar would just come up and menace them.
Anyway, instead of going off the broken bridge he was going to send the bus down, Shun in the Power Dizer shows up with much better CGI than last week.
Yeah, the Power Dizer actually seems to be more agile than Forze is.
Yeah, between like the fight with the Hound Zodiac a few episodes ago, running up the building 2 episodes ago.
And then doing the flip over the bus.
Yeah, and then he does his little salute in the in the Power Dizer. Kengo realizes he's being an ass finally, and comes to his senses. He radios Forze and tells him to combine the elect and stealth switches to better get the better of Pixis. He does so, ruins his ability to use telekinesis, and then slices him in half.
Nice.
While Makise finds himself about to be thrown off the bridge by a bunch of girls, Gintaro and Yuki discover that Kengo isn't responding to them, and all of a sudden, Kengo is actually outside the rabbit hutch, planting the Kamen Rider Club's flag. He's surprised to suddenly find Gintaro there, and it's discovered that Mr. Suspenders had indeed taken the locker for his own. And that was just the most disturbing little moment. He sticks his head inside and smells. And God almighty.
Well, you know,
wish that he was Scorpio, just so that way he would be out of the show very soon.
See, I'm sure in one version of this they wanted that to be the teacher's underwear, but they couldn't actually make it work where the underwear was the portal up to the rabbit hutch.
Only mother's underwear would be big enough for that.
Anyway, Tomoko had put the name on the other one because she is a creepy little girl. And she discovered this and brought the locker back. Kingo proclaims that all of them are his friends and shakes Gintara's hand and proclaims the Kamen Rider Club open for business to defend Earth and their school, which I'm actually glad and kind of surprised that they didn't drag out for most of the series. Hi, Ankh. And actually, I mean, that's a lot of character development just in a short period of time for a lot of characters.
It gives you hope for the rest of the show, but probably this is going to be the extent of the character development for the whole series. And
if only they would give the villains this much development.
There was also one creepy note earlier in the episode I forgot to mention. The fact that Kingo mentions his father died in the rabbit hutch.
Oh, yeah. So what happened to the body?
Yeah. If he knows this, when he and Yuki discovered the rabbit hutch, they probably found something else.
And, oh God, the smell.
Yeah. There's
well,
that
no,
too.
No, they probably have air scrubbers up there, so it would have kept the smell out of the air.
But plus, space is really cold, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. They probably found his dead father's body preserved floating somewhere in there.
Well, it's only preserved if there was a vacuum in the room he was in. Otherwise, it'll decompose just like anything else.
What if there was a Roomba? Would that count too?
No.
Anyway, next week we meet the real principal, who does a certain hand motion that makes me think there might be obviously something up with him.
He's masturbating?
No, there is a lot. there's lots more Scorpio. Basically, I'm thinking that he might be the one that ends up being Scorpio.
And apparently, Foz gets the Goldie Marg switch next episode.
Yes. And the return of the Orion Zodiarts user, which also surprises me because I wasn't expecting any of these guys to actually come back. But the best part of next week? Ninjas.
Ninjas.
Damn.
Forze versus ninjas.
I wonder if that'll be better or worse than RoboCop versus ninjas.
It's hard to beat RoboCop 3 for anything.
But the past like three episodes or so, I've been kind of. I mean, I've liked the episodes, but they've just been kind of there. Like that happened.
This one was really entertaining.
Yeah, this one was really, really good. I thought, because like the actual emotional moments actually felt genuine. The Kingo's character development felt believable, and I really liked it.
It's okay. I don't hate it.
Yeah, same here.
I'm not sure how I hold it compared to, like, O's.
Like I've said before, O's took me a while to get into. And I think at this point, at the point O's was at this point, I like Forza just a little bit better.
Maybe. On the other hand, they're just so different conceptually, it's hard to really compare them.
Yeah, I mean, you can compare them like they are Kamen Rider, but yeah. It's kind of like comparing Sentai and Kamen Rider, you really can't. It's just like two different beasts, honestly.
Or Saban's Masked Rider versus...
Yes.
Okay, so since that was Forze, I guess it's time for this week's Gokaiger.
Which was actually... Well, I'll get into that.
Yes, we will.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action!
I just want to go babbling off in this episode, but I'll shut up.
Thank you.
There is no talking on a podcast.
Sometimes I wonder that.
Well, on some of the weeks we have, that seems true.
Yeah.
So this week on Gokaiger, during dinner, the Goju drill collides with the galleon. And everybody thinks thinks Guy just spazzed out and called it and nobody noticed. Which is it's entirely believable.
Except for the nobody noticing.
Yeah, and like
yeah, anytime.
The telling thing about that is that Guy can't really even defend himself.
Yeah, except, you know, Guy can't really do anything without being all flashy and loud about it. So it would be hard for him to call the Goju drill without anybody catching on.
Yeah.
So Guy goes over to investigate and cautiously enters the cockpit with his weapon drawn.
You mean his finger?
To speak. That too.
By his weapon, his finger.
Well, but he's in the he's in the Four Kids Yu-Gi-Oh episode.
But he's not on a motorcycle.
No, that came later. But all he finds in the cockpit is a Time Force badge. Or Time Ranger badge, whatever.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And when he picks it up, a guy appears out of it. And Guy shits his pants.
Oh, so it's a previous Sentai member then.
Yep. How'd you guess?
Well, the same thing probably would have happened no matter who it was, because he picked up the badge and a guy appeared out of it. That has to be kind of, you know, unsettling.
Yeah, it's just a little bit.
Mildly disconcerting.
Just a little.
Anyway, cue opening, and there wasn't anything special in this opening like there was with Forze, so let's just move on.
Sentai has the special stuff in for movies in the ending, because they have one.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always wondered why the Rider series stopped having end credits.
They put them over the opening credits?
I guess. So back on the galleon, Guy's playing with his Time Force badge and starts up the hologram again. Apparently it's Time Yellow, and he has a job for the Gokaigers to do.
And Navi's flying into it to make sure that it's a real hologram.
Oh, God.
Navi's fun.
Yeah.
I like how... one thing I like about Navi that I only started to appreciate lately, or maybe they've just been doing it more lately, is that she is CGI a lot more than you would expect.
Is she, or is she just, like, composited stop motion?
No, I think she's CGI. She moves a little too smoothly to be stop motion.
I don't think they really have ever done much stop motion in Sentai. Composited shots, yes, but that's usually of stuff that's done in real time.
I do love the way they do miniatures in Sentai.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Time Yellow wants them to go back to last year and protect some little temple out in the middle of nowhere. For no particular reason.
Other than...
Nothing bad will happen, I promise.
Yeah, he claims it will help them discover...
an ultimate power.
An ultimate power. He just doesn't say which.
Right. Or where or how.
Because they already have the Time Ranger's power.
Yeah. And most of the other ones.
Yeah, at this point.
Just no interacting with people from the past.
If you can avoid it.
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
For reasons that are not at all important.
No, not important at all. And you said I was being obvious.
No, I'm just saying, though, reasons that are not at all important because they never really expand on why they shouldn't interact with people from the past.
Well, destroying common
sense, time, really.
Destroying the time-space continuum is usually an important reason.
Well, look, you'll end up getting a clone of some... You'll end up just having a clone in Colonial California.
Have you not seen Back to the Future?
Colonial California.
Oh, God.
Oh, season two.
I always wanted them to reveal that, like, the clone was Tommy's ancestor somehow.
That just seems like it'd be creepy, though.
Exactly.
Like, you know, Alabama creepy.
Your point.
Okay. So everybody piles into Goju Drill because it's the only thing they have that can travel through time.
They just have to activate the transwarp drive.
Over time and space.
Yes, let's go over time.
And space pirates.
Oh, That exchange was actually funny on Twitter.
So anyway, they arrive back a year ago, and Doc's like, "Are you sure we're in the past?" Because
and
really,
Navi's not exactly happy about being left behind either.
Poor Navi. Somebody has to watch the ship.
Yeah,
which is brings up some continuity issues.
Think so?
Like how they get the Ranger keys?
No, like what happened to their like. What happened to them having the ship in the past?
Huh?
What?
What? The ship wasn't shown in the past.
Never mind. It's just
the Galleon in the.
It's not in Ghost Age. It's not in Ghost Age versus Shin Kendra. The Galleon's not in it.
I thought it was in a cup in like a shot or something.
Nope. Maybe in the end credits, but it's not in the actual movie. I just watched it yesterday.
Mm. It doesn't matter. It's just Fort Max.
I was looking for inconsistencies for this episode.
Well done.
And there actually aren't. There's only one.
So the Gokaigers get over to the temple they're supposed to guard and find a bunch of...
Nanashi Rinju.
Or as Uber. They call them, fish faces.
Yeah, yes.
Which is just as accurate, I think.
Yeah.
I think so.
And of course they figure that's who they're supposed to protect the temple from, and they start fighting them.
Well, no. But
that's a natural assumption.
Well, plus that, it's more that they start running in, and then the Moogers run off.
Yeah, they're not interested in fighting at all. They got better things to go do.
Yeah, because they heard somebody shouting for them.
Yeah. And, of course, then they find a small child at the temple, because there's always a small child at the temple.
And you know, at this point, I was thinking, oh, God, it's one of those episodes.
Yeah, but that only lasts for about 3 minutes.
Yeah, I was proven wrong, but surely I'm not the only one that thought that.
It's one of those episodes where a guy takes an unusual interest in a young boy's ass.
Well,
no,
is that better or worse than
no,
when
he totally
Doc
checks out that kid's butt when he bends over?
Is that better or worse than Doc taking interest in that soccer player kid?
It's not better or worse, it's just as bad.
All right.
Oh, Lord.
So the main five Gokaigers go run off to do whatever and leave Guy to tend to the kid. Guy wants to take him
home. Which is illegal in about 30 states.
Oh, no, I believe it's illegal in all of them.
They're in Japan.
Well, depending on the kid's age, it could still be illegal. Anyway, Guy is supposed to take the kid home, but the kid's having no part of that because he hasn't run away. He's just moved out. A very important distinction there.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
The kid is kind of bugged because his mother is a freelance journalist and probably a whore. And he doesn't have
probably.
She's a mom, isn't she?
Oh, I heard that coming.
The mother's a freelance journalist, which means they have to move around a lot, and the kid doesn't have a father. Which, at this point, some gears started turning in my head. Now I forgot my place.
The Gokaigers were chasing.
Well, about how the kid doesn't have a dad,
and she's a whore.
Ah, yeah, the whore. I forgot about that part. But yeah, the Gokaigers are off chasing after their fish faces, and they just happen to end up on a cliff overlooking where the Shinkangers and the Ghostagers are roll calling
and exploding.
Well, they're roll calling, so I mean that kind of goes together.
Yeah.
I did like how the Gokaigers didn't really care that. Oh, hey, there's the there's the Ghostagers again. But, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that team that they only met one of, who's not even there, was just as much of an importance.
Yeah.
And the yep, still have the keys.
So
we really must be
cool.
Back in the past.
But I like how Ghostagers. I mean, not only explaining that bit of continuity, which is odd for Toei and Sentai in general.
Yeah.
It frames the fact that, yeah, you're in the past.
Right. Yeah, the notable thing about this episode mainly is that they actually explain why the Gokaigers were on Earth at the time of that team-up and fit it into, like, the actual continuity of the series.
Which is, like, more than they would ever have. They didn't do that for, like, you know, the Ghostagers in Shinken versus Go-On, which is merciful.
Now, from from my perspective, because I did not see this movie and I did not see Time Ranger, in a way that actually makes this one of the least accessible episodes of Gokaiger I've seen.
Yeah, I can actually kind of understand that perspective.
Yeah.
Gokaiger is usually really good at, you know, using things from past series and not leaving me totally in the dark. And this is the one episode where it has left me pretty close to totally in the dark.
Yeah, see, that's what I was kind of wondering.
Of course, the thing is that the movie that this has stuff from came out like a couple, came out like a month or two before Gokaiger started, so.
Anyway, yeah. As I was saying.
Yeah, as Ken was trying to say before Fort Max butted in.
I was wondering what the perspective on somebody would be who didn't care to, you know, hadn't gone through to watch, you know, like Gosei versus Shinken, because if you weren't a fan of either of those two series, you'd have really no reason to watch it.
Right,
like me.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, what this episode mostly represents, I think, is like the last, basically goof off moment for the Gokaigers before we get into winding down to the last episode, the final story arc.
Yeah, because next week looks... Yeah. Well, anyway.
So, you know, they're doing their major fan-wank thing here, which is why this episode's so much more dense with specific references to previous stuff.
Yeah, and if there was ever a fan-wank episode, it is this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
Yes, this is continuity porn.
Yeah, Sky was fan-wanking all over the place.
But anyway, the
guy always fan wanks all over the place. He's guy.
That's his special self insertion power.
you said insertion.
But anyway, they see Shitari gathering his troops as the Shinkenger fight.
Right. So the Gokaigers decide that they can pay back the Shinkangers and Ghostagers for giving them their ultimate powers before by taking care of these guys and probably fulfill their mission to protect the temple, because they're still not really sure, hey, what are we protecting this temple from anyway?
I like Marvelous's comment that it doesn't matter, it won't change anything. They obviously didn't, you know, they obviously beat them anyway, so.
Or they would be defeated one way or the other anyway, it doesn't really matter who does
it. Yeah. Kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, in a way, it is.
But he already knows that they got beaten because, I mean...
The Shinkangers and the Ghostagers were still okay.
Yeah, right. The world still exists, so...
Yeah, so one way or another, everything turned out fine, so it doesn't really matter what they do there.
They just slaughter an elderly old squid.
And the only witness is the lantern anyway, so who cares?
That was my main issue with what they did with this. You didn't see the lantern scene.
That would have made it even more inaccessible than it already was. Yeah. I can completely understand why they cut that out, because anybody that's just watching Gokaiger would be, what the f***? And they're already doing that.
To a large extent, yes.
Yeah, so, as he will attest to.
The lantern saw all.
He always sees all.
If that lantern could talk. Oh,
yeah,
wait.
Yes, wait. More than Samurai's lantern apparently could do.
But yeah,
that's because it's Samurai.
Yeah, anyway.
So we get some recycled footage from Ghostager versus Shinkenger.
And they change one line. Just one line from Ghostager versus Shinken.
Which one?
When Marvelous, after they do the roll call, in the movie, he says, this is a movie, so let's make it showier than ever. Or something like that. He actually breaks the fourth wall completely in the movie.
Okay, so it's a slightly different timeline. Marvelous.
Yeah, but they changed that line a little bit here.
Well, it's not a movie.
Exactly.
They're not in the past every day, so let's make it extra showy.
Yeah.
So yeah, they slaughter an elderly squid man and
poor Shitari.
He's gonna die soon anyway.
Actually, that's kind of that actually does fit with what happened in Shinkenger. Because at one point, he gave up part of his own life force to power a monster. So he was already weak as it is.
Well, there you go.
Which is also probably why he didn't grow to enormous size.
I hadn't thought about that, actually.
Yeah, because he gave up a part of his life force so a monster could have a third life. Thus, I always figured he gave up his second life.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, back at the temple,
It's Metal Alice again.
Yeah.
I care just as much as the first time
that.
I saw it.
Yeah, her.
So here's the bone being thrown to Ghost Age fans, and yes, they exist.
I refuse to believe that.
I have seen them. It's a sad thing,
you know,
they exist.
If something sucks, it's fair to say that there'll be someone on Ranger Board who supports it.
Mm-hmm. No, I've actually seen some people that I think would be like, you're an intelligent person. Why do you like this?
If they're an intelligent person, they're not on Ranger Board.
If they're an intelligent person,
Ranger Board, I don't even bother with that.
If they're an intelligent person, they don't like Ghost Ager.
Yeah, basically.
But anyway, we get a Ghost Ager monster.
Two.
Yeah, one of those boring KT types.
Yeah, after Guy actually explains some of his past, which I was surprised, but...
Wait, Guy has a past?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Guy has parents?
Oh, he's just making it up as he's writing it anyway.
Wait.
Look, he probably didn't... Well, they probably came back before he could talk about, like, being sucked into a TV or something.
And then he changes into Sir not appearing in this film.
Which he was in,
like, literally.
He was in Ghost Age vs. Shinken. Sir not appearing in this film.
I was at least sharp enough to figure out that's why he was on the sidelines, because he was he had not been invented yet.
Yeah. Right.
He had not invented himself yet.
we can see his genesis later on tonight. A little bit.
Sort of.
Well, his first appearance.
Yeah. So, yeah, Guy transforms and tries to fight off the KT thing. And that
same beat
really
off like Ken Wood.
Ha ha ha. And it goes about as well as you would expect. But it's okay, because the other Gokaijers show back up, and they all do Time Ranger.
Well, first, you actually do get a really good solo fight.
It was decent. And we got something out of Shinken Gold and King Ranger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guy finally did his awesome final wave again.
Yeah.
That's what, twice now?
Yeah, I love that attack.
It failed against a Ghost Ager monster.
Yeah, that's not really encouraging.
Yeah. So there is a funny part to this. I'll note later.
I mean, at this point, the episode pretty much becomes a Guy focus after they're done fan-wanking the Ghost Ager Shinkanger thing in.
That was really kind of a side note. It's really kind of a Guy episode overall anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't really get that focus until they wrap up the crossover.
Well, it's just kind of well-rounded, I think.
Yeah.
So it's not like overbearing. It's not like, I didn't realize it was a Guy episode until it was over. I was like, oh.
Right.
Somebody had to point it out to me. I was like, oh, I guess it was.
I mean, that's kind of a good way to do a focus episode where you don't really realize that it's a focus episode until you think back
until
on
you're
it.
Like it. Until after it's ended and you're getting a snack from the fridge.
Yeah.
Well, you're like, God damn, but what did they do? They tricked me.
It's like the episodes where they introduce Kanzen Gokaio. It was focused on like five different people and they spread it out over two episodes, but it didn't feel like I focused on just one individual person.
Right. So anyway, the other Gokaijers come back, and they all turn into Time Ranger, and
using
everybody
the instrumental of the theme again, which is really nice.
And everybody but Guy figures out how to do that bullet time thing.
Well, here, the problem is that Guy was busy being wondering why they weren't doing the roll call. Which, it would have been interesting to see how Doc would have screwed that up.
I think we're losing Ken again. His connection's been a little spotty tonight. Nice to know that it's not me for a change.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, really.
Don't you mean knock on cow?
Ken has the cow tonight.
And plus, wouldn't knock on cow cause the connection to die?
Woo, cow tipping. But they end up doing pretty cool Time Ranger individual finishers, all involving the word beat.
And they do it to the smooth jazz version of the Time Ranger theme.
Yeah, I like the instrumental versions of the themes they use for the tribute episodes.
With the extra saxophone?
Yes.
Yeah. I need to find an MP3 of that. That's really nice. So they beat the monster and, you know, big, and there's no galleon in the past, so Guy gets to do it all by himself with Gojujin, which is kind of cool.
Which is basically what he did for the first 6 weeks he was appearing.
Well, I was going to say, even if the galleon was there, he would have just stolen the kill anyway, so.
Yeah, but you get to see the drill being used for again.
And he did get to use the ultimate power of the Ginga Man.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that.
Spinning.
Whee!
Well, that was the Defender Torozord's finishing move. Spinning. So that makes sense. Kind of.
It's stupid, but it makes sense.
Well, now, if it had been the ultimate power of the Galaxy Megazord, it would have just been a straight sword slash. So, I mean, at least it was...
Probably a few like that, all things considered.
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, you have to admit the Galaxy Megazord had a pretty boring finishing move. Of course, once the Galaxy Megazord had the Lights of Orion armor, it could barely move to start with. So, not like they could do a whole lot with that.
That wasn't a very good series.
Well, Lost Galaxy was good.
Lost Galaxy had a few moments.
Well, I mean, just as far as from design standpoints, from costumes to Megazords, it was just kind of
It was kind of throwbacky, especially with the Megazord designs as blocky as they were, and not having anything intercombined with each other. It was.
Was it another anniversary year?
No.
No.
Okay.
The closest anniversary year was...
Car Ranger.
Yeah.
And then after that would be Gal Ranger.
Right. But anyway, back to this episode. So, everything's over with. They've saved the temple, like, 4.5 times now. And the kid's mother has shown up to collect him and apologize for her son being a little shit. But Guy's like, oh, no, it's okay. He's fine. Don't worry about it. And Guy wanted to get a photo of them in front of the temple to prove to Time Yellow in the future that they saved it. Although, being that he's in the future, he could probably find that out all by himself. But
yeah, but
know,
still, it's Guy.
Guy, yeah. And they invite the mother and the little kid to be in the photo with them.
I think the important thing about the photo is that to jump ahead for a second, at the end, Guy asks him for his autograph. It gives him something to sign.
Yeah. Although I imagine they have paper in the future, too.
Probably.
No, it all goes to all paperless society.
Oh, that kind of sucks. Well, maybe he could sign an iPad and send that back in Goju Drill.
That could work.
Yeah.
You know, those would be antiques by then. They'd be worthless. So it'd be just like having paper.
They got stacks of iPods they jot down notes on.
And they have, like, toilet iPads. So they take the picture, and when Goju Drill goes back to the future, Guy leaves the photo in an envelope. With the note.
Well, but first, asking... we haven't seen... Well, but before that...
No, not before that.
No, before that, they're back on the galleon. Navi asks what power they got.
Oh, yeah, that. I was thinking of the other thing, but... And then they're like, all... Oh, crap.
You get 6 great reaction shots. Joe starts doing his sit-ups even faster out of range.
He does furious sit-ups.
Yeah.
Well, okay, and that's another thing I forgot, too. While Guy's fighting the giant monster in Gojujin, all the Gokaigers transformed are just sitting around waiting for him to finish, and Joe's over there doing his push-ups one-handed, counting them off. That's what I've said this a bunch of times before, but I love the way they work the suit actors in Gokaiger to really bring across the characters they're playing.
Hi, Ken.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really impressive thing to get done.
Yes, yeah, suit actors are awesome. Where the hell are we?
How's your cow, Ken?
Show's over, Ken. You missed it.
They protected the temple and found out they didn't get paid for it.
Oh, they didn't get shit.
Well, there he goes again. So anyway... So this is what it's like on a normal week with me, right?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. Kind of interesting to see it from the other side. So
then after But then after all the shocked reactions, Navi is like, you guys can't do it. Like,
you guys can't do shit without my help. Yeah.
And then pan at the temple
and
find a very familiar jar that probably has a little blue squirt in it.
Gave your mom a little blue squirt.
What?
She died.
What the hell are you talking about? What blue squirt?
Mickey doesn't know the secret. See, that jar is from Kaku Ranger, and it's the equivalent of that jelly jar that Ninja was in for half of Season 3.
Oh, okay.
So, the idea is that Ninja Man is probably trapped in there, which is why he was not turned into a Ranger Key or, you know, destroyed with the other mecha.
Because
so that's why they wanted to protect
the temple. He died before the Legend War.
Except
the temple
now he didn't.
Destroyed.
Yeah, so who knows what'll happen now.
So this is another example of this episode being completely inaccessible if you don't know your shit.
Yep.
And exactly. Slightly inaccessible even if you do know some shit. But anyway, at the end of the episode, Goju Drill flies back to the 31st century.
Hitting 88 miles per hour, I presume.
And Time Yellow goes into its cockpit for some reason and finds the photo in an envelope that Guy left. With a note
asking...
That's
the fart in Guy's chair.
As Rob mentioned, there's the note in the envelope asking for an autograph, along with the photo. And the mother's name is written on it, and it just happens to be the name of the woman who Time Yellow knocked up before going back to the future at the end of Time Ranger.
He's a deadbeat dad.
Yes. Making the little boy that Guy bonded with Time Yellow's bastard child.
He did do the nasty in the pasty.
You were waiting all day for that, weren't you?
Probably.
And by this
way,
is why...
The correct response is verily.
Yeah. And this is why Gokaiger is awesome if you know what's going on in Sentai for the last 20 years.
It's also a really good example of what Gokaiger could have turned out like overall in the wrong hands. It could have turned into something so dense with references as to be completely impenetrable to anyone who is not, well, Guy.
Yes. Yeah. Or Fort Max. Fort Max is kind of like our Guy.
He's kind of like a guy.
He's a little spastic.
Okay, you're back again, Ken.
Hi. I don't know how much longer this. I don't know how much longer this will last, but.
Oh, there he goes again.
What the f***ing hell?
No, we heard it that time. So
okay,
let's see how long this part actually lasts.
God. We'll just keep telling him that he's breaking up. See how he's gonna mess with things.
No, I think the response we got already is completely worth the effort I put into it.
Okay.
Any more would just be, well, completely necessarily mean, but it's time for a break
surplus
anyway.
Surplus requirements.
But anyway, yeah, this was an awesome fan-wanky episode of Gokaiger, which is completely inaccessible to anybody who's watching this as their first Sentai series.
Whoops.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi, Rob.
Or someone who hasn't watched all of Shinkenger, Ghostager, Time Ranger, and Kaku Ranger.
Well, yeah, I only four series as a prerequisite, that's all.
Awesome. I haven't even watched all of... I've watched, like, the first three episodes of Time Ranger. I heard years ago about how, at the end, Yellow's girlfriend is pregnant after the Time Rangers go back to the future.
Yeah, I did not know about, but you pick up it on it easily at the end of the episode.
Yeah, but
you couldn't watch it all if you wanted to, because there's only like five episodes of Time Ranger subbed right now.
You could do it raw,
and two would
help a whole lot. But no, I mean that's why at the part where the kid says that his mother's a freelance journalist or writer or whatever, and his dad's not around, I was like, oh,
yeah. See, I missed because I first watched the episode and just. Regular Japanese because I was impatient, and I missed that part. But the end of it still makes it pretty obvious, regardless. Even if you missed that, which I thought was really good because I mean it's like it actually adds character development for the guest stars,
right?
And the entire don't meet with people in
the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he kind of paused. He hesitated when he said that earlier in the episode. That's just like a big tip off right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a neat moment of realization. It was like, oh, they're picking that back up. Which, you know.
I mean, it's kind of surprising. Like, yeah, he knocked this girl up to be in a kid's show.
They merged their pixelated genitals together.
Ah, Japan.
Basically, this is one element that Time Force did not adapt, unsurprisingly.
Especially because yellow was female.
Exactly.
Yeah, so if she had knocked somebody up before going back to the future, there would have been a lot more questions involved than there was.
Well, I don't know. Yellow and Time Force was pretty masculine.
Yeah, she was genetically enhanced. I'm just saying.
They certainly enhanced her quite a bit. I mean, it sounds like an improvement to me, but
it's a web exclusive.
Is this an Endzite commercial?
It's future Endzite. Guess what? It has different effects.
It's good news.
But
it's
still voiced by. But is it voiced by future David Kay?
Yes.
Yes.
Except he's a space Canadian now.
Space Canadian.
With the beard he'll have in
future
the future.
Space Canadian.
All right, so we actually have more show to do, so let's take a break and we'll come back and do power playback, which will probably be another hour.
Not with me running the show.
Well, yeah.
This is a good point.
I'll be right back.
That's the thing to look forward to.
Skip the Ghost Agers stuff. Pretend the Ghost Agers are not even there. That's half the movie.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record, news, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the Street Fighter 3.
It's time for Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Superhero Time's Power Playback every Friday afternoon on Twitter at TF Radio.
This week's Power Playback is Super Sentai 199 Hero something or other, whatever. The Gokaiger movie.
Grand Metal Turbo Alpha.
Gold Edition.
Super Robot Monkey Team Hyper Force Go, whatever.
The Gokaiger movie, unfortunately co-starring the Ghostager.
Oh, sad trombone.
Oh. Thank you.
The Ghostagers went up that mountain and right off the edge of the cliff without stopping.
That would be nice.
But first they stopped to see if anyone needed help along the way.
No, they helped themselves right off the cliff.
No, the Ghostagers stopped to see if anybody needed help, so they grabbed some random campers and carried them up to the top of the mountain and then right off the side.
Whether they wanted to go touch the top or not.
Exactly. That's why I called them campers and not hikers.
Well, after meeting the Ghostagers, they did want to go to the top.
But basically, the Ghostagers suck.
Yes.
Not that this is news to anybody who listens to this show or had the misfortune of watching Ghostager.
Or has half a brain.
So that's what, 8 people in total?
Supposedly, yes.
Like I said, it has its fans for some reason or another.
No, I meant us.
Oh.
I believe there's only 6 of us this week.
People that have been on here.
I think that's close to a dozen now.
Good lord.
There's been more people on the show that listen to the show.
Well, yeah, okay, but the only way I can get half these people on the show is because they haven't listened to it. Mickey?
Yes, okay, so we start the movie with an expanded version of the Legend of War we saw in the first episode of Gokaiger, and it's really not all that different or impressive. I mean, it's longer, but
most of it focuses
nice.
On the Ghostagers, so it sucks.
Well, it focuses on the Ghostagers running away from having their ass kicked.
after Gosei Great has been blown up.
Yes. See, this is actually a good way to start a movie.
Yeah.
I will say.
Yeah, well, this was the first time I ever saw the Gosagers, and my very first image of them is of them sucking and getting their asses kicked, so I think I'm prepared adequately for this film.
Yes, you are. You're prepared.
And for Gosager itself.
Yes, you're prepared more adequately for this film just from those first couple minutes than for the episode this week.
Although, unfortunately, Gosager in the series is mostly about them failing upwards.
And unfortunately, yeah. Aqua Red and Big One show up to save their asses from getting slaughtered.
No, Aqua Ranger, not Aqua Red.
I'm sorry, I always do that for some Aqua Ranger, I'm sorry.
They are shortly joined by Deca Master, Deca Swan, Bull Black, and Princess Shinken Red.
Signal Man.
You mean
Magi Mother, Woolzard Fire.
Zuban, and most of them actually get voiced. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, Signal Man, a.k.a. Traffic Light Deneb.
He's here to take Earth.
Yeah.
I'm just going to assume that's a Car Ranger thing.
I believe it is, yes.
It is.
Wasn't the joke in Car Ranger that none of the aliens could pronounce Earth correctly?
Well, or none of them did pronounce it correctly.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Rio and Mel show up.
Yeah, of course they have to show up on their own.
Because why not?
Well, because they're awesome like that.
Just because they're awesome like that.
Awesome.
And they somehow learned
how awesome they are from watching Get
To Ranger. And here's the thing I really like about this scene, because if you think about when it came out. It came out right after episode 16. So the very last thing you saw in the TV series, after wondering where are all those other powers, was Bosco flashing all those keys. And then you turn around and watch this movie right afterwards, if you were in Japan, and here they all are.
And how do you run my love for the Legend War into the ground? Play the Gosager theme over it.
Yeah.
Now, if they had used Gosei Knight's theme, that would have been awesome.
No, it would have been passable because it's still something from Gosager.
No. Gosei Knight's theme is awesome.
I don't mind the theme. It's just what it reminds me of.
Yeah, it's the theme was actually okay.
Yeah,
when we first
heard fine.
It.
It's just a decent song,
but
it's just about Gosager.
See, I haven't watched Gosager, so I had no problem with the theme.
Wait.
Because Gosei Knight is awesome. Because he's secretly Volphag.
Wait, what? What now?
All right, I said that wrong. Move on.
Volfog. Just say comma.
Volfaggot.
Saving that one.
Just say he's comma and move on. Just leave it at that.
Okay, so Legend War goes on. They spirit bomb the Zangyek fleet. And we're left with the shitty Gosagers hanging out with a bunch of cool dudes in an empty field somewhere.
Yes, with so the Shinkengers get to talk to them like they're stupid again, because apparently the Gosagers are the only people of these scattered all these scattered extras in the far background in various costumes that don't understand what the fuck is going on. And what's bad? You know what's bad when Gohan Yellow is having to explain things to you.
Yeah. Saki seemed a little out of character.
Well, she wasn't telling everybody to smile.
Exactly. She should have been all happy and upbeat, saying, hey, this ain't so bad. Smile, guys.
Yeah, but she had to look
all over the battlefield and
but she had to
can't smile in the presence of the Gosagers.
Right, she had to look
that explains it.
She had to look smarter and more with it than the Gosagers, so she couldn't be all just randomly smile, you know, cuz then she'd look
the
just
Gosagers would have been like, "Yay!"
No, she's just competent enough to understand the circumstances. And it's not a moment for smile. It's a moment for, what the f*** did we just do?
A lot of this, but we saved the Earth! Yeah, well, good luck next time somebody else comes knocking on your door.
Exactly.
That's remarkably close to his actual voice.
I try.
Yeah, so, which leads us to our first, well, I guess the second Gosager moment of, we just lost all of our powers. Earth is f***ed. A lot of says, oh, well, but we did it to protect people on Earth, so it's okay. It's not okay.
Didn't he say something?
You're defenseless. This is not cool, dude.
Didn't he say something similar to that the third time they destroyed the Tower of Heaven?
Yeah, the third time. Oh my god, they did it how many times? Keep in mind, that's I only saw the beginning and the very end.
And then there was that time they made Master Head kill himself to save their sorry asses.
Oh, Jesus.
He reincarnated as a professor with a fake mustache.
Suddenly the context of this movie makes so much more sense.
As I said before, the Ghost Agers spent most of their series failing upwards.
Failing upwards? You know, oh my god. Okay. I did like the little bit where it showed Aqua Red. Actually, Aqua Red this time.
Leering lustfully at the power as they zoom by him.
Yeah.
As he just is randomly floating there in space like this.
Well, that's how he ended in Bo Kinger versus Super Sentai, isn't it?
That's where they left him off. He's been floating there ever since.
Well, it's not like he has anything better to do.
He's been updating his phone book.
His Facebook? His Facebook.
His phone book.
Aqua Red's been hanging around.
Reference.
Okay.
Aqua Red's been hanging around his MySpace.
His MySpace. It's a little outdated there.
Updating his GeoCities.
He's going to add some sparkly text to it. It'd be nice. It'd be nice. Some frames.
Some MIDIs?
Yeah, MIDIs.
Automatic MIDIs.
It's a multimedia media production. Very classy. Very classy.
Some GIFs.
Okay, so moving right along.
After the opening credits, the Kaijers are fighting on Earth, first using the Goandra powers, and then displaying the Dynahuman pinwheel.
No, before that, though, when they summon the Dynaman powers, they take a page out of RPM's playbook.
What'd they do this time?
When they change into the Dynaman,
oh,
they blow up the Gorman with their transformation explosions. Yes. Like an RPM.
Nice.
Dynaman with the power to blow shit up.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's basically the line they have in the end theme, isn't it?
Yeah.
Explosions, Dynaman! You know.
That sums it all up right there.
So they're all about to finish off this Gorman, or whatever, somebody, with the powers of the Ghost Sager, and the Ghost Sagers show up and be total cunts, and they steal their powers from them.
I was looking for a different word, but that's actually worse than I was thinking, so yeah, let's roll with it.
I had no idea that Ghost Sagers could be that competent.
Well,
here's the thing. They're in the middle of screwing everything up.
Yeah.
It's backwards competence.
See, here's the thing.
The thing?
Yes, the thing. Their first mistake is stealing shit from pirates.
Yeah, bad idea.
Especially these pirates.
They had walked up to them and said, can we have our powers back? And Marvel said, no, f*** you. Then, you know, maybe I'd see their point. But no, they don't even say anything. They just swipe it from them.
These guys are supposed to be f***ing angels.
Yes! The pirates look more virtuous than them. That's bad.
It occurs to me there must be some kind of a trope established where competence is inverse to how much you're screwing something up.
The Stormtrooper effect, maybe?
Maybe.
So, they steal their keys back, and you know what the first thing they do is? They demand the rest of the keys from them.
Or go say Knight's key, anyway.
Well, that, and they start to imply everyone else needs to get their powers back, too. Y'all don't deserve them.
Yeah. And it's like, you just stole shit from us. You want us to give you more. You!
Yeah.
Even Gosei Knight tries to argue it, even though he's stuck in header form at the moment.
Yeah. But basically, the Gokaijers are completely justified in their actions now. Because the Ghostagers are f***ing dicks.
Yes.
Not Ranger level dicks, but they're getting up there.
There's an interesting acting moment here when they're sitting there arguing. There's a side shot of the Gokaijers on the left and the Ghostagers on the right. The Gokaijers, their suit actors are all acting in character. Marvel's got his arms crossed. Aim looks delicate and concerned. The Ghost Sagers are all standing perfectly still with their arms at their sides.
Well,
acting at all.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that is consistent with the Ghost Sagers in general, though.
Uh huh.
Yes. It's like they don't stand. That's one of the things that's one of the things I love about Gokaijers. One of the things I loved about Shinkinger is that the suit actors are really, really expressive in those series. And in Ghost Sagers, I believe they changed a lot of the suit actors between those two series. while Gokaiger went like and got back Shinken Red's suit actor for Gokai Red.
But the great thing about that shot, though, is that it puts the two things against each other, and it really shows you how shitty the Ghost Agers were.
It's like you're comparing the shittiest team to one of the best.
What do you mean were? We're only 20 episodes into the movie.
I did notice that, though. I you know, of course, I don't know anything about Ghost Ager happily enough, and I'm watching this and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, as usual, I can tell exactly who the Gokaigers are and what their personalities are from their fight choreography. I don't know anything about the Ghost Agers from watching this, and I don't particularly care.
Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't matter.
That's exactly right.
That
is exactly correct.
That's what you would feel about them after 50 episodes.
Yeah. Like, for the Gokaiger, it does not matter what color they're wearing. You can always, always, always tell which one is which.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Ghost Agers?
With Ghost Agers, you can always tell which one is which.
The color.
You have the moron, the other moron.
The third moron, the fourth moron, and the moron with the big ears.
And then there's Ghost Age Knight. But it's like, if you're colorblind, you'd be in real trouble watching Ghost Ager.
So, fight time, because Gokaigers ain't having this shit. There'll be no resolving this with words.
I was disappointed after how badly Takeru kicked his ass that Alada actually kind of didn't get completely stomped here.
My theory on that is the Gokaigers weren't really trying because they don't really care enough to try that hard.
Yeah, well, Takeru, when he was evil, was really trying to murder Alada.
He sighed wistfully.
Well, and of course, they don't want to kill him because then how are they going to get the ultimate power?
I don't think they even care at the moment. They're like, f*** guys.
And meanwhile, up in space, there's a new arrival on Commander Nepotism's ship.
Oh, Gil, I miss you.
Yeah.
It's some guy that seems kind of Nazi-like.
Yeah.
Must be Showa era villain.
Alas. We want to trust our children that Nazis are bad. So.
Alas, no, it's not Starfish Hitler.
Oh, man, if only.
It's Swastika Man.
Well, actually... he's called now the Black Cross King. He was formerly the Black Cross Fuhrer. He's more politically correct now.
Because Japan's all about his political correctness.
Yeah.
Just look at Dragon Ball.
What? Mr. Popo's totally always been blue.
And Chenchi.
Everybody.
Yeah, pretty much everybody. So the Black Cross King showed up, and then...
He basically says, let's team up. I'll do all your work for you and let you have the rewards.
He's like, hell yeah.
That's exactly the kind of deal he's qualified to make.
Well, no, he doesn't. He checks with Duralmas first.
Oh, yeah.
Is this cool? Is this cool?
Yeah, it's cool. Go for it.
Well, heck, what do they have to lose?
That's the best part. He's like, he goes, checks with Darabas if it's okay first.
So, meanwhile, on the playground, Dingy Blue is serving bagels to children, because kids love sesame seed bagels.
No, those are Dingy buns.
Dingy pan.
Isn't there another, isn't that teacher another former Sentai member?
He's also Battle Kenya.
I'm talking about the teacher, not him. Doesn't she pop up later on?
No, that's someone else.
Okay. I was getting people confused.
So anyway, he sees a kid playing with a toy of the Dingy Man robot, which I'm noticing looks a lot like Vehicle Voltron from passing angles. He's got sort of the same shaped parts.
I'm sure it's about the same quality, too.
Yeah.
It's a pre-Zoo Ranger mecha. It's made
it's
out
a box.
Of boxes.
So then, after he compliments him on his awesome toy, Dingy Blue and about a billion other former Rangers all save a guy from committing suicide.
Yeah.
No, no, it doesn't look like he was committing suicide. It looked like he was just walking out to the street because he was being a derp at the moment.
You know, well, that's what it looks like at first, but then you find out that how much his life sucks, and you realize, yeah, this dude was doing this shit on purpose.
The best part of this, though, is that all of the former Sentai members that show up to pull him out of traffic are wearing badges with their Sentai logos on them.
Yeah.
Just in case you didn't figure it out completely.
Well, thanks.
Well, they're wearing their uniforms.
Well, Umiko's wearing her uniform.
Yeah, you know, Dragon Ranger didn't really have a uniform. Or,
well, he had
or
a
White
pants.
Ranger, whatever.
Well, he had a standard, kind of a, well, no. I mean, they all usually have a kind of a standard dress outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and Murphy's there, too. Woohoo.
Yay, Murphy.
Or can get clouds.
I saw that, and I realized they probably only have his leg and his head.
Yeah, probably.
Well, he was probably in the Legend War, too.
But that's all that's left of him.
They lost most of the battle thong.
They can rebuild them. They have the technology, but they don't have the budget.
No.
The sad part is, the one part they didn't lose is the battle thong. They lost all the useful parts of him.
That's what's holding the leg on.
Poor Murphy.
Reduced to a head and a thong.
So while the former Rangers are all playing recognize each other, the press guy starts crying in the middle of the street.
Nobody loves me.
I'm trying to commit suicide and no one's still paying attention.
Well, he's not dressed like a mook.
So,
meanwhile,
the
Gokaiders realize, oh wait, we do have this Gosei Knight guy's powers.
Huh.
They had just gotten it the last episode.
Exactly. And they don't have their encyclopedias yet.
Yep.
And also, of course, the press guy was going to go sell his toy of the Go Rangers vehicle.
Whose name escapes me, but...
Vari Bloom.
Judy Bloom?
Sure.
Your mother.
Okay, so while the Go-Cutters discuss strategy of trying to use the Gosei Knight key as bait, the Go-Sagers, proving what awesome heroes they are, do a sneak attack on the galleon.
Yeah.
Where the f*** did that come from?
Because they're, well, like you said earlier, cunts.
Where did they get their mecha from?
It got better.
Creature keys.
But their mecha blew up.
Well, you know, all they need is for the headers to survive because the headers just attach to ordinary vehicles and pull the Zords out of them.
That's true. And Gosei Great just looked like it was damaged heavily, but just damaged. It wasn't like blown to smithereens.
They probably sacrificed another god to save their ass again.
I was lying around.
Yeah, they blew up the Master Head Megazord. Probably by
it will
probably
not
crashing it into the tower.
So, in a rather nice moment of salvaging what the writers can from Ghost Sager, that they do pull out the pirate fish hat Megazord.
The Ghost Cadger's reaction to that is fantastic. It's like they're copying us.
Well, of course, it's perfectly. It's in character for the Ghost Sagers.
Up till this point,
assholes.
Yes.
It's like, that's a dick move.
So, while they're all distracted, Alada sneaks in and steals the keys like a little bitch.
Yeah, he can't even go, like, punch him in the face like Dragon Ranger would.
Apparently, Alada's balls dropped in between the series and this movie, because he never would have tried this shit before.
That's true. Within the series, he would have tried to talk his way and smile and make everybody happy.
He's going to sneak in there like some kind of crook.
Yeah.
So, while him and Gokai Red squabble amongst the keys, they screw up and the
Once
treasure
Navi
chest...
alerts them to his presence.
What do you mean, they?
Okay. A lot of screws up. And ends up tossing the bucket of keys over to Iron Cross Man, whatever
his
name
is. So he drops Gosei Knights, which he had actually managed to get, and then he's f***ed that up too.
Anyway, specifics aren't pointed here. The important thing is that Black Cross has got the bucket of keys, and he's summoned forth the Go-Under Emperor, Brazilla, and some other guy that I don't remember.
He's from Magi Ranger, but I don't remember what his name is.
Dagon, I think.
Dagon. Yeah, Dagon.
Don't know why they picked him, though. I guess they just had that suit lying around.
Well,
yeah,
he
was in good enough condition to use.
He was the leader of the second string of villains in Magi Ranger, so he was like a prominent villain.
Yeah.
So, with his generals back from the dead, he then teleports the crews across the world to be separated and bond together.
Yeah, because don't just kill them while they're right there.
Yeah, no, we don't give them a chance to learn about each other first and realize they're all the same.
I will destroy my enemies with team-building exercises.
He is a Showa villain.
And apparently the Go-Andra villain also runs a movie set.
Because well, why not?
That sounds pretty Gaiark to me.
Yeah.
What type of movie set could they possibly use?
Let me think.
They're going to film a Super Sentai episode.
they're going to film Shinkenger Returns. Oh, wait. Maybe
they're going to do the Boom
O's
Boom
Wonderful.
Bong Bong movie.
O's Wonderful. O's Wonderful. There you go. Wait. No.
Well, because no, the rock no, it's not a movie. It's a TV wait. Episode. 30
two
minutes.
A couple Dino episodes. Okay, there we go.
No, 30 minutes. Movie. Well, 30 minutes. Episode. Single episode. So,
okay.
All right. So, some of them go to the Edo period. Some of them end up on a bridge that doesn't really exist for any real reason at all. It could be a bridge over a chasm.
One up.
And then a lot of Marvelous gets sent to an office space where a dude is about to have his eyes boiled out by tossed coffee. Time's frozen, so we get to like watch this moment in between him screaming forever.
And a lot of just pokes people. So yeah, they're frozen. You didn't realize this by looking at them.
I think he was trying to figure out if they were real people or not.
Don't defend him.
Yeah, a lot of stupid enough to not realize that just from looking, so.
It's true.
And he's also, there are people there to poke.
He's trying to see if he can forcibly help any of them.
Yes.
Is this helping you? Is this helping you? Is this helping you?
Oh, Marvelous, why can't your trigger finger slip?
I'm going to assume that forcibly helping someone is akin to befriending the shit out of them.
No.
No. Befriending the shit out of them is usually
beneficial to them.
Yeah.
No, Ghost Rangers' big thing was they stuck their noses in other people's business when it wasn't really invited.
And then made things even worse.
They're walking on the street and they see someone like, you know, looking at a girl. They'll decide it's their mission in life to get him to marry her and have kids with her before the end of the episode.
Okay.
And that actually was an episode that happened. He's not just making that up.
Okay.
They're busy buddies. If they see anybody doing anything, they're going to f***ing help them whether they want it or not.
Yes.
That's their divine mission.
Except, at least for the first part of the series, as soon as they were done helping them, they would whip out their memory wipe cards and erase their memory of having helped them.
I just realized something. They're missionaries. Oh, crap. They're going in and they're helping people who don't want their help.
But wait, since they're incapable of actually offering help, I think that technically makes them Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, I was thinking that. I just sat on it.
Well,
that
at least they're not
in an entirely different light now. Now it's religious commentary.
At least they're not asking for people's life savings, otherwise they'd be Scientologists.
Yes.
But they'd be more hilarious if they were Scientologists.
Well, yeah, Scientology makes everything funnier.
Well, except Tom Cruise, but too late for that.
Well, we already have Scientology in Toku. Dynatetics.
Besides which, I think Tom Cruise is like a living parody of himself at this point, so he's automatically funny just
at
unintentionally.
This point?
Sure.
You
well,
mean there's
it's,
a time he wasn't?
Well, it's not like he's Keanu.
Nobody is Keanu.
He's Keanu Love. He was Ted. He's immune to all criticism.
That movie sucked.
Your mother sucks.
For a nickel. For a nickel.
She died.
Okay. Back on topic here. Luca and Monet apparently have this weird thing going on where they are exact carbon copies of each other.
Which
it's a TV episode. They're in a TV episode being directed by a guy arc.
Uh-huh.
It makes sense.
I don't like the comparison, though. I don't like the that a Gokaiger is equal to a Gosager.
Actually, I think you have that.
It's not cool.
Actually, you have that statement backwards. It's thinking that a Gosager is equal to a Gokaiger.
It works either way.
Isn't that the same either way?
No, I think if you say it as a Gokaiger being equal to a Gosager, it makes it sound like the Gosager is the superior to be equal to, rather than one aspiring to be equal to someone better than them.
Sure, why not?
The semantics, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I think we get his point.
Well, now that I've explained it to you, yes.
Okay, so the Gaiorg Emperor does have a funny bit where he has a parody of the Toei wave-crashing logo for the movie.
And Agri punches it, which is easily the most competent thing he's ever done.
Actually, I think that's easily just the most he's ever done.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Competent or otherwise, because otherwise Agri's just, oh, he's that guy over there.
Well, he did have that one episode where he jogged.
Yes, yes, he did. That sure was a thing that happened, too.
So anyway.
Jogging for great justice.
Alright, so four of them were fighting the pollution minister. Four of them run away and hide in a cave and realize that, hey, we should team up because we'll sort this shit out later. There's bigger problems.
Because we're going to die if we don't.
They did at least like put the ones that are most likely to kind of see eye to eye together. Because if you like stuck Joe with Doc instead, nothing would have ever got done.
Well, actually, a lot of things would have gotten done, mostly push-ups and sit-ups.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put all the fighters together, then put all the talkers together.
And thus, things happened.
Yes.
Except for Eri, who's useless in any grouping.
Ever.
Yeah. When they were falling, why didn't she just use her ears to fly away?
I was just about to...
the magic feather.
I was just about to say that her use in any group setting would be if they need some shade from the sun.
Well, that explains why I'm sitting so close to her.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, back with the suicidal businessman, they're all telling him, it's okay, it'll be all right. Here, have some dumplings.
Magic dumplings that make him feel so much better.
Denji pan.
No.
No, this was the gyoza.
Oh.
From Rio.
This was Rio's cooking.
It did look tastier than the dingy cooking.
Yeah, is that the whole fancy plate in there?
Yeah.
So is that his same gyoza cart that was in the later episode of Gokaiger?
Probably.
I think. Yep. I imagine that's where they got the prop from.
Huh. That's true. They probably filmed this at the same time.
Or close to it, yeah.
Probably a few months apart, but...
It doesn't matter. That's hardly important. Details.
Yeah, they had the prop lying around, so they used it.
And the actor.
Yeah. Pull out of the closet. Dust it off.
So after we get a nice, delicious dumpling scene, we get a shot of Iron Cross telling the world what's what.
No, Black
Cross.
I've got all
the powers, you're going to die, blah, blah, blah.
Black Cross.
It doesn't matter.
Matt Cross.
All it really leads to set up for is the fucking Nozomo is in this goddamn movie.
Briefly, thank God.
Oh, and now he shows up
not,
at the end.
Not
save the
briefly
day.
Enough.
Still briefly.
It's not briefly enough unless he's not there at all.
I know. I just pay attention to the fact that Kruger was there.
But at least Data's hyper didn't show up.
Thank God.
On the other hand, he probably
died
got
in the Legend War.
I was gonna say he probably got destroyed since he's technically a mecha.
Yeah.
Along with the poor ostrich.
I did like that they showed, when they were showing all the various Sentai members watching him spout shit in the air, that they did show Kruger briefly.
Yeah.
Extremely briefly.
Well, more
the terrible
Kruger is always
Ranger
good.
Kruger costume.
Still, terrible costume or no, more Kruger is always a good thing.
That's true. It just strikes me as funny as how big the difference in quality of the two costumes is. Like, he's awesome either way, but like one's like a pinata and the other one's like a professional costume.
Yeah. Honestly, I still say this costume, something about it still looks better than when they used it in Magi versus Deka. Because in that movie, he looked like he was about ready to fall apart.
Now I'm actually imagining a pinata version of Kruger. A little paper hanging off of him.
Well, what's inside? Doggy treats?
Yes.
Cigar dog to candy.
So anyway.
Where were we?
Black Cross King, haha, you're all going to die.
And Alata and Marvelous are still fighting inside that building.
That's right. This is where the movie sort of falls apart and becomes just nothing but grunt battle scenes for about an hour, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, it did feel like it kind of dragged on.
Yeah. They had to fill an hour and a half instead of an hour.
I mean, it was all competent action, but none of it was terribly exciting or interesting. It just sort of seemed to extend what was going on. I mean, the most interesting thing is when Alata and Marvelous are in the TV studio or where the hell they're at. And Brazil is firing homing lasers from around corners at them.
That was pretty. I liked in those shots when Marvelous would look up and see a shot coming from him. It were actually they showed a reflection in his visor.
I missed that. That's cool.
Yeah.
One thing you have to give them is attention to detail.
Yeah.
Plus, he actually could sense the beams coming in at him.
While Alata was just stumbling around like a doofus.
As he does in every single appearance ever.
Yep.
Again, getting the details right.
It's like he didn't have any crayons laying around this time.
Well, you never know. If they would have had crayons laying around, he might have, guide something up and saved
the
day.
That's exactly the point. That's where I stopped watching Ghostsager.
Or he drew his own power-up card.
Yes.
Ugh. Man, Ghostsager. This movie is like ripping off a scab or cutting up a scar.
See, the only thing I could think of when I saw that episode is like, okay, Digimon Tamers once did something similar to this, except when that was whipped out, Takato shot it down and said that was stupid. Like, no, you're full of crap.
Yeah, when Tamers did it, it was done for hilarity's sake. When Ghostsager did it, they were dead serious.
Yeah.
As close as they could get to serious.
Well, yeah, you know,
he was yelling as he did it.
The card games are serious business.
So, Marvelous, in a Marvelous moment, blocks the Omega beams and inadvertently saves the family in the elevator.
I was wondering if somebody was going to say that.
Because this is still back in the phase where he thinks protecting people means you have
to
die.
Well, that's what he says. Well, that's what he'd say happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like how he does it nonchalantly. Like, he doesn't stand there like he's trying to protect them. He just leans against the wall and just takes it.
Well, that's Marvelous.
Yeah.
So, Alata sees what he was protecting and puts two and two together and highlights, oh, maybe he's a good guy after all.
And for the first time in his life, Alata puts two and two together and comes up with four.
And then he's stupid enough to say it out loud to Marvelous, and Marvelous smacks him in his f***ing whore face.
See, this is where I love this movie so much, because in spite of the Ghostsagers being the Ghostsagers, the Gokaigers still mostly remain in character. Especially Marvelous. Because he just smacks him in the face.
I could watch that scene on a loop for like half an hour.
Hours. Just fantastic.
I love the way they translated the line, too. Save the sappy talk, Featherface.
Because I think it was like Tori and Tenshi Yaro, and this, so it'd be like you like angel bastard or something like that. If you say, because that's how I usually see that word translated, but Featherface works too.
I'm sure you could work that into being like angel dumbass,
and it would still be true.
It's just a whole
actually, it'd be more true.
It could be any insult under the sun, actually.
Yeah.
Angel Dick.
Basically, it means you, but you say it like you're disgusted with the person. So,
basically,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you see it a lot like in shonen shows, like, and Yu Yu Hakusho, that's half of Yusuke's dialogue. Anyhow.
Alright, so magically the crews reunite for some reason.
Well, they're...
Maybe Guy's taking over the writing by this point.
Well, they're
well, plus
the office building's right outside that bridge, and across the street from...
the beach.
From the beach, yeah.
You also
they're
skipped
all over... the same block, they just didn't look in that right direction.
Yeah, those all are just... Well, and the office is across the alley from the Edo period. Well, that's next door to the Edo period.
Well, Japan's a small island.
And then that house is on the and that Ellen Zillisto's family's house is on the other side. So,
but where is the porno shoot pool? In relation
the top floor
to
the office building.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. But you missed the one part where when the pinks and blues were fighting, or blue and green, whatever, were fighting Dagon's forces, they turned all of the foot soldiers into copies of themselves.
Yes.
So he just had to blow away his own troops while they were horrified trying to stop him.
Yes.
Well, you know, that does seem like a Gosei Blue plan to have a bunch of people dressed in Ghost Rangers costumes get shot till they die.
And they're probably on the same beach, too.
Actually, they are.
Oh, God. I remember this place. That gives me a great idea.
It's
that
perfect.
That would explain a lot of things, actually.
What if we just kill all of ourselves? Doc's like, well, let's modify that plan a bit.
Well, no. Gosei Blue wouldn't be, let's kill all of ourselves. He'd be like, okay, I'm going to sacrifice the three of you.
Yeah, Gosei Blue always struck me as kind of an asshole.
He killed his partner. He killed Gosei Green.
Wait, what? Okay,
yes!
I did not see the middle half of Gosei Green at all. I knew there was a Ghost in Green that died,
the middle half? How does that even work?
It works as much as the rest of Gosager.
Well,
is this the middle portion
that he watched the first quarter of the last quarter.
Yeah, basically. More or less.
So middle half sounds like...
That is the middle half. It's half and it's in the middle.
It's Georgia math.
Sure.
or when calculating your mom's weight, so...
Anyway, yeah, I didn't know he got his I knew Gosei Green died. I did not know how he died.
Yes. That is why Gosei Blue is the worst Gosager. He killed Sen-chan.
What?
The actor who played Gosei Green is also the same actor who portrayed Dekaranger Green.
Oh, that bastard.
Yeah, he sacrificed his partner so he would live another day.
Kind of like they sacrifice Master Head?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of a theme of the Ghost Agers, actually.
Gosei Blue gets other people to sacrifice their lives for him.
This sounds like more religious commentary.
Actually, it sounds like Char.
Sounds like Char. Actually, it does.
But he's
Char,
the wrong...
Char is awesome.
He's the wrong color and not nearly fast enough.
So true.
And not fat enough.
Well, that depends which Char you're looking at.
Yeah. It's a Gundam and a dozen donuts.
A dozen donuts.
Well, I know which Char I'm looking at.
Yes.
The Char driving the Segway off the cliff again?
That too.
Alright, so, on the beach, Teams United. Goatsy Knight shows up with Navi on his shoulder.
Pause.
No, just keep going.
Just go with it.
It's the only awesome part that Ghost Eggers can contribute to this movie. Go with it.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So apparently Navi found his key. And...
he's Goatsy Knight because he has this big hole on his backside.
Oh god! I get it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Navi brought him back because Navi is awesome like that, I guess.
Yeah.
She brought back the only good part of Ghost Ager.
Navi is more effective than all of the Ghost Agers.
Do I really want to click on that after what we just talked about?
I'm totally clicking on it. I need to see this shit.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
It's actually a little disappointing compared to what we were talking about, but it's not like Mickey's birth picture.
My wonderful birth picture. Birth's first appearance.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, you know, the Gokaigers couldn't get a damn thing done if they didn't have Navi.
Navi's actually got to picked up all the keys once just flew them away from Bosco.
Yeah.
Plus that one time she got to wear the little Hawaiian shirt and the sunglasses.
Yeah.
And the time she turned into a car.
That was a dream.
Or was it?
Yeah, Navi is the truth.
She's the one that ran over Guy.
Navi is the true seventh Ghost Ager. Makaukin is the eighth.
Wait.
Gokaiger, I think you mean?
Oh, God. I'm going to go play in traffic. Sorry, it's been a long day.
We'll get hit by a bus and you'll gain Ranger powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought that was kind of an odd...
save you, so either way, you win.
I always thought that was kind of an odd lesson to teach the kids. Oh, hey, he got hit by a bus and he became a Power Ranger.
You know, one thing I would like Sentai to kind of break away from? Starting every team now with Go.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Only four in the past 5 years.
The next one's going to be called Go-Goger.
Go-Goger.
Well, first they reduce Rangers.
Go-Goger 5. Sure.
Now it's just Er.
No, Go-Goger Go. Go-Goger V, Fort Max.
Go-Goger V.
Goger.
Just go. But
anyway, okay.
So would Goger fight V'ger?
And then they fight Gozer.
What do they think about Stay Puft Marshmallow?
The Traveler is coming.
What the hell?
It's the Stay Puft Marshmallow, man.
We need Megazord power now.
The Statue of Liberty now. Megazord.
Statue of Liberty piloted by using an NES Advantage.
And well, by that torch, one song the torch forms a fiery sword out of it that she swings down.
I would like to see this Sentai.
I think we've just completed another pop culture Sentai crossover now.
Yeah.
Okay, Black Cross shows up and says, oh, I've still got all the powers, so screw you, fight everybody.
And yeah, so they do.
When he says everybody.
Everybody. Except Ninja Man.
And as they change, you know, we demonstrate again the whole thing of the Gokaigers coming off, personalities coming off a lot better in fight choreography and general suit choreography because they don't need the stupid little descriptive speeches before they announce who they are. He's got
right.
The Gokai Red, and that is all you need to know.
Yeah, their roll call takes half as long as the Ghost Agers.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
And is worth twice as much.
Yeah. Yes. But I mean,
more than twice.
There's some series where I kind of like the whole pretentious...
I like it a lot in Geki Ranger.
I like it in Shinkenger. I like it in Go-Onger.
Well, but even in Shinkenger, it was a lot like the Gokaiger one where they're just announcing their names and colors.
Yeah, but I mean, even still, there's a little bit more to it.
Gokaigers, they don't even do their names. They just go by color.
Right.
Which is...
With Shinkenger, though, it's part of the samurai trope where you introduce yourself by name to your opponent before you fight to the death.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And Shinkenger was really good about all the samurai tropes under the sun.
Right.
But including... there's just no reason for them to go on and on about who they are and what they're doing.
Because nobody cares.
Even in Magiranger, which was their roll call, was really kind of wordy too, but it worked.
It wasn't annoying.
No, it worked. It fit the theme of, you know, magicians and all their spells and all. You know, it fit.
Yeah.
Announcing what they were. But
basically, what I'm getting here is that the Ghost Sages roll call sucks, but everyone else is fine.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Don't make them sound like even more pretentious assholes than they are.
Yeah.
That's why the Ghost Sages
don't.
That's
quite a feat, actually.
That's why the Ghost Sages don't do that, because Ghost Sager ruined it for everyone else.
Yes!
Shit, we can't do that anymore.
I support this notion. Well, it's the same way I figure why when the cast change happened in Turbo, they stopped doing the morphing call, whatever.
Yeah, red.
Red light, yeah.
Turbo power. Yeah, it was really wordy once you got the Turbo.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, Tommy and them only did it because they've always done that. It's their force of habit. And then when the new guys came in, they didn't have any concept of doing that, so it's like, oh, hey, it works anyway, so...
Yeah. In that missing first team outing between when they got the powers in that episode where Bulk and Skull were invisible, they were probably like, Justin, stop that shit. Yeah. Justin, I smacked you across the face. Sorry.
No, that wouldn't have been... That would have been like Carlos doing that.
Yeah.
Or Cassie.
Yeah, it would be Cassie.
Possibly Blue Centurion.
Well, Blue Centurion doesn't morph, so
and you would still slap us in the
and
face.
Here's the thing: that it wasn't illegal, so it wasn't a traffic violation, so Blue Centurion wouldn't care.
Yeah, it's not like there was evil pizza stuck on Justin making him run amok.
No, Justin is a traffic violation. Justin is an everything violation.
And actually, technically, Justin should have been a traffic violation because he drove around and
yeah,
you know,
was
he was
12 driving around in a car.
Yeah,
come on, he is a traffic violation. So, Blue Centurion should actually hate his guts when you think about it.
And thus, we've poked more holes in Power Rangers Turbo.
So back on the thing that matters this week.
Speaking of poking holes in things.
Your mom?
Okay, so they're off with the respect color partners here.
Yellows.
We get black with green. And it's a very uncomfortable attack pose. They decide to utilize.
Oh, yeah, with Agri and Doc.
Yeah, so Agri, Snake, picks up Doc by his ass, holds him against his crotch.
Yes,
we're in a sort of shooting.
Yeah, it's crotch against crotch too. So,
yeah, and it's kind of like the angriest f***ing Doc of the ass with Doc shoots a bunch of Rangers.
Oh, there's a gif waiting to happen.
I bet it already
has. Already happened.
Yeah. Does it hurt anybody else's soul just a little bit to see a lot of kill Battle Fever J? Or no, was it Jack? I forget. No, it was I was fighting Battle Fever. That's okay, but to have a lot of kill Jack so easily.
Well, everybody killed everybody easily. It just
no,
kinda...
but it's just that especially. It's just it kind of.
Well,
hurt.
Look, it
no,
hurt. Well, it's on the same. It's the inverse principle of ninjas.
Yeah.
Stronger yes. Effect.
On the other hand, I did kind of like that they made a reference to the Ghostay versus Shinken, just a little bit when Eri and I'm were fighting together.
Oh yeah.
Did they?
Pink Attack Part 2.
Yeah, Double Pink Attack Part 2.
Oh yeah.
One?
Right.
There was a part 1?
See, I thought that was a Dino reference.
Nope. It is because they shouted that in during Ghostay versus Shinken. Mako and Eri did.
Oh yeah, I wanted to ask can anybody explain why the Ghost Sager's weapons seem to have gumball machines on the bottom of them?
Because they made them out of some servo. Because,
technically, the gumball machines are on the top of them.
Okay.
But... I think that matters.
Well,
that's all we have. That's all the explanation there is.
You know what I actually like? The Gokaijers don't have a super form. The Ghost Sagers have to change into their super form to take on all these guys.
Well, it's the same as the start of the movie where the Ghost Sagers are getting their asses handed to them by the Zangak army that the Gokaijers will routinely plow through without even transforming.
Yeah. But it's like they have to go to their lucky draw forms in order to even stand a chance. And I always have to wonder those forms, the armor on top of it, isn't that really constraining for the suit actor because they can't put their arms in front of their chests.
Well, it's not like they can see either, so...
They can see.
Well, it makes it even worse.
I just always think they're wearing football pads.
Yeah, but football pads don't have 5 foot of a dragon sticking out in front of your chest.
Well, they do if you're...
watch more football that way.
They do if you're playing for the right teams.
I mean, I'm surprised a lot of this doesn't skewer somebody with that.
He probably does.
To answer the question about the Ten Sword, Rob, you know the little toys you'll see like at the checkout or near the checkout where you push the button and the thing spins and there's a light in the dome on the top?
Mm-hmm.
This is basically a bigger version of that with a sword on the end.
Okay.
Now, as for the answer of the question why?
It's Ghost Ager.
There is no answer.
Yeah.
Well, no, there is an answer.
Japan?
Why?
Why? It's just a perpetual circle. Why? 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 Why?
Again, it's the same reason they have Lucky Draw armor.
Yeah.
They're wearing the bodies of Tom Servo and Crow.
Damn them.
Yeah.
End in the hell.
Really, you can't talk about Ghost Ager without finding more and more things they've done bad.
Yeah.
It's sort of a curve that grows exponentially downwards.
It has no bottom. It just keeps going down and down and down.
Like your mom?
Are you talking about Ghost Ager or your mom?
Could we talk about Madonna, Ager. Too?
So, back to killing everybody.
So they kill everybody.
And it's a really nicely remastered combined attack footage.
I don't know about nicely remastered.
I'm not even sure about remastered.
Yeah, because they obviously didn't have the props handy.
Right. Yeah,
no,
that
they
that
was been the budget.
Yeah, the fact they didn't have the props handy was pretty well evidenced when they showed shots of the teams in formation, but at such an angle you couldn't see where the prop was supposed to be.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah. A lot like how they handled Antonio in Clash of the Red Rangers.
Or how they did for, like, 10 episodes of Season 2 of Power Rangers.
I was reminded of the Zeta Gundam compilation movies where Char walks through a door and suddenly it is 1985.
Yes!
I mean...
There's no other way to put it. I mean, it's this wonderful, modern, smooth animation. He opens a door and... Pop.
1985.
It becomes Voltron? Yep.
Pretty much.
Except with nicer character models.
As you try to forget any translation.
Of course, the sad thing about that is that the 1985 room, again, has preferable character models to the modern animation in the previous room.
Yeah.
So the animation is better, but...
Right.
Models are completely different.
Because they couldn't get Yaz to come back and do the character models, if I remember right.
Probably not.
Pity.
Yes, really.
Always did like his work. But back to the thing that matters.
The
movie.
Point?
Okay.
We don't have a point, Rob.
They get all the keys back, which the keys then begin to start to glow, and they all start tripping balls and hallucinating dead rangers.
Yes.
Not dead.
Really, really, really old dead rangers.
Oh, I thought you were going to say really, really old balls.
Well, not dead.
Just... Well, those two.
Okay, so are we talking about the point with the cliff behind them lined with rangers?
No, when they get the when they get the vision from everybody.
Oh, okay, the big white space with all the faces.
Yeah, with all the candy orange keys floating around them.
Yeah.
And candy. So, seriously, is that what Big One dressed like?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
yes.
A gay... Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
Well, you well
it off better when he was younger.
Well, plus
we did plus not the, have this movie needed more, way more Big One than it had.
Plus, you know, that was like 1979 or whatever. I mean, that kind of worked back then.
Everybody.
His lapels
like
were very sensible for 1979.
Yeah, and the hat.
No, this was like 77 or so.
I forget the specific years. You know. It's not really important anyway. It was the 70s, so, I mean, it made sense back then.
Yes.
Yes, because you were on cocaine.
Well, I wasn't, but, you know, that was partly
well,
due to not being
born
like,
yet. The world.
Oh, okay. Yes, I am the world.
I am the children.
The looks of it, I'd say Dinah Pink is no longer Cherry.
How would you know?
She still her main squeeze, though.
Which is kind of sad for the other Dynamen, isn't it?
So after they finish hallucinating Rangers telling them good job, then we get a terrible CGI composite shot of cardboard Rangers standing on a fake hill behind them.
And if you notice on the bottom corners is Gokai Silver on one side and Aka Red on the other.
That's in the ending. It's not an actual movie part, I don't think.
Is it?
Yeah, it's only
just
in the
ending.
There's actually...
Okay, that makes more sense.
They show all the extras also, and then they have Gosei Knight paired with Signalman and Zubon, so he's just standing with the robots.
Figures.
He kind of is a robot, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, and plus, he's not going to be standing with the Gosagers.
He learned his lesson again.
Oh, he was standing next to the Gosagers, unfortunately.
Oh. Yeah, but he was off on one end, so it's like he could pretend he wasn't with them.
Yeah, but yeah, that's in the very last ending shot of the ending.
Well, good. Then I feel less bad about not noticing that when I actually watched the movie.
So, with all the Rangers behind them, Guy off-screen imagines them a giant Ranger cannon.
That explains everything.
And Gosei Knight powers it by grasping the buttocks of Gosei Red and Gokai Red.
God.
It's all about the butts.
There's a good intro quote.
Yeah, I know.
So that quickly disposes of Iron Cross, but oh, wait.
Yeah,
he's bigger
and tentaclier.
He looks more like a Garo monster now. Sort of incomprehensible in McFarlane.
No, though. There aren't boobs.
Yeah, there's no breasts involved.
That's
here.
True.
We need that so, plus the tentacles.
Do male Garo monsters have, like, wangs swinging around, like the chicks have boobs, or?
Fortunately not.
Okay, so there's gender inequality in the series.
Yeah. there's one bladed tentacle monster, if that helps.
Gender inequality in Japan?
Who would have thought?
Imagine that.
Although that does remind me that the in Clash of the Red Rangers, the monster that they took from Shinkanger's movie did have a rather unfortunately placed prehensile dragon tentacle thing.
And they chopped it off.
Yeah. And he was very distressed about it.
They circumcised the shit out of that monster.
Yep.
Oh, I think they went a little farther than circumcision.
Yeah. I think, did they edit around that a little bit?
Barely.
Seemed jumpy.
I don't remember. They might have edited out, like, you know, Ika Daikaio. I don't remember if that was there at that point, but...
I don't think so.
There's just enough to figure out they cut off the tentacle, then it cuts back to the monster, and you see a hole in his crotch, basically.
A little bit of a stump, too, I think.
Yeah.
So on to the interesting part of the movie again.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Black Cross.
Well, first, you get the power of toys.
No, yeah. Not yet.
Not yet. Get ahead of yourself.
First, everyone gets their ass kicked.
Yeah.
And
Nagato
has to f***ing save the day by saying we have to believe in them.
Believe in the toys that fund the series.
You know what's bad? Is when that little kid is less annoying than Nozomu. Mm-hmm.
Not really.
Well, no,
he's... Nozomu.
He's young enough to be enduring.
And everybody claps real hard and Tinkerbell Zord comes back to life.
Yeah.
Basically.
That had occurred to me as well.
But the important thing is Suicide Guy finds the will to live. Through the power of toys.
So,
Eugene, there's not a message.
So basically, Suicide Guy represents us.
Yes.
Buy your toys and take care of them. One day they'll save the world.
Our lives are meaningless and bullshit, but we have f***ing toys, and that's all that matters.
No, this is Bandai of Japan. You can't have the toys.
That's true. But they do imply the toys are worth a lot of money, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's because, there's a reason for that. You can't have them.
It's because they charge a lot of money for them.
You can't have them. That's why they're worth so much.
So then we get to the best part in the whole movie, Megazord Armada.
Yes, sort of.
It's the thing I've always wanted to see.
And you know what? What's really kind of a kick in the crotch for anybody who's watching this because they love, say, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Daizujin is obviously in ill repair. Because if you look for it, it's just standing there, slumped over, kind of. Just kind of holding the sword down. They only use stock footage for it.
Well, unfortunately, those suits don't last forever.
Yeah, nope, no. I mean, they still have most, if not all, of the hero suits. But of course, those things are old. They are in perfect condition for what they're used for, which is to
display
stand
at a rest
still,
or museum.
Completely still on display behind a glass case.
That one is obviously not still like the ones from the past 10 years are the ones you basically see moving.
Yeah,
and that's not it.
Well,
right.
Yeah, the oldest suit that was used was Victory Robo from / Lightspeed Megazord.
Yeah, and I'll entirely admit to going to being a little excited at seeing that in action.
Yeah, that was used. Gal King was.
Well, we don't have to go through all of them that were used. But
Wild Force,
yeah, thank
Megazord.
You.
Here all night,
and then
already
and
here
Fort
all night.
And Fort Max doesn't listen as usual.
Yeah.
But of course we have Blajira's entire Sentai team here in the big fight. Because there's I think every version of him is there.
Yeah, they
and
they
all
got,
die. Thankfully.
They even got Chimatsuri Blade Run, didn't they?
Which Shinkano, of course, fights, which was nice.
Continuity.
They paid attention to what they were doing.
Now, yeah. I think the best use of the stock of a now, of course, a lot of the old most of the stock attack footages that they had on done well, all of the
best
ones.
Best use is RV Robo and Engino.
Yes. Now the ones that the older
meanwhile,
ones.
Meanwhile, there was all the ones from the 80s, which most of them were not even put together in the correct aspect ratio.
And also, with Daijujin's final attack, you could tell that they pretty much just cut off the bottom.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you work with what you have. That was standard definition. So I mean,
but whereas for
it was no worse than when they put together the stock footage team weapon finisher attack.
Yeah, but I'm saying that
you could tell it looked really weird where they they cut off the bottom.
Fort Max is an unstoppable force of nature when it comes to talking.
With Daizujin, they had no choice. I mean, there wasn't much else you could do except crop the bottom and top and use that.
No, they just cropped the bottom.
Well, regardless.
Megazord fighting is awesome.
Yeah.
Even if it has to rely on stock.
Y'all are nitpicking the shit out of the most awesome thing ever of a billion Megazords fighting at once.
Yeah. So I blame Fort Max.
They're fighting.
All I wanted to mention was how they kind of screwed up some of the stock footage by making it, squished together too much.
And then they hit them with rainbow beams.
Care Bear stare.
Yeah. But that's
no,
not
they,
enough.
They use so. The Shining Finger Sword.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. They use the Go Ranger's ultimate power.
Which is apparently just to have the Varbloom hook onto the back of Gokaio.
That's perfectly okay, because they form a sword that puts the Rekadaizanto to shame.
Yeah.
Why?
They form a sword the size of the city.
Because the Go Rangers were extremely compensating for things.
Still, if that is not the final attack in the series, I'm going to be a little disappointed.
It probably won't be because that seemed to be a one-off improvised thing rather than a proper power-up.
Yeah, but you would think that for
plus it was a toy. The guys probably sold it.
Yeah.
Oh, but still, for the final attack, you imagine they're probably going to use the Go Rangers ultimate power.
Maybe.
Well, they're using their music for most of this.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Is that the Go Rangers theme?
Yeah. Which is why I didn't recognize it when I first saw it.
I recognize it, but I've been listening to all the series themes on loop for the past 2 months, so.
Damn, I don't even have all the series themes.
I've actually got all vocal songs from all the series, so.
Yeah, same here.
That took forever to download.
Really?
This download.
But the Go Ranger theme seemed a little odd here.
Besides being the Go Ranger theme?
No, it just seemed like a little out of place. I get what they're going for, the whole homage to the past with the first theme and all, but it didn't seem like it was the right place to use that.
Well, they had the episode that aired after the movie had a guy pretty much using its lyrics.
Yeah, they did. Huh.
Hmm.
It's funny how that works out.
So, movie?
Yes.
It ends, and we thankfully never have to see the Ghost Eggers again.
Hooray! Until this week. Whoops.
Wait, what?
Until this week. Whoops.
Oh. Well, we didn't actually have to see the Ghost Eggers themselves, just, you know, some stock footage from a distance.
Yeah, but...
It's fine.
The feeling is still there.
I don't really mind the suits so much, so long as we don't have to see the actual, quote-unquote, characters again.
I still had to hear a lot of shouting. That's enough.
The suit design for Ghost Ager was always pretty nice.
Yeah, it's just what it became associated with.
Exactly.
It's kind of like how Nazis had really cool-looking uniforms, but then, you know, they're Nazis, so, you know.
And how Nazis ruined swastikas for everybody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, those cool boots. But, yeah, I mean, that goes back to what you were saying. The uniforms are pretty cool.
But they're Nazis, so, you know.
And, you know, Hitler ruined the name Adolf for anybody who came later.
And the Charlie Chaplin mustache.
Yeah, that bastard.
At least he didn't ruin the monkey tail.
Anyway, yeah.
Anyone else praying for Captain Marvelous to just kick Alada off the galleon at the end there?
They cut out the next scene.
No, the earthquake did that for him.
I kept wondering through this movie. It was said that he was standing on top of something very, very high when the earthquake happened. I wonder if that was it.
What bad
timing. They only mentioned him because a lot of the actors actually fell off.
Now, or they only mentioned him because, well, the only other person in the scene was Alada.
They didn't want bad publicity, though. They didn't say the other Red Ranger fell
off. And what it was, I think what it was is on blog it mentioned that they were wishing for him to get down, was it safe, and nope, but apparently, nothing about Alada. It's Alada, who cares?
But yeah, you kind of wonder...
What?
Why they just kind of hand the powers over so easily now? Yes, they're good guys, but your point was still before that you needed the powers to save the world.
The point is that they're being written out of the series.
Thankfully, it's just that...
Yeah.
It's like, y'all did this whole, all this crap for nothing. At least the Hurricanes kind of like had a valid reason for needing the powers right then. They didn't come before. They needed the powers then so they could go and save them.
Well, and plus you have to remember, though, it's the Ghost Agers.
Yeah. That's kind of their whole MO of, you know.
There wasn't any way left for them to help.
Yeah. They did in the first place, considering they caused all this crap.
Well, yes, it's the Ghost Agers.
Yeah.
They found a way to make the whole ordeal pointless.
Exactly. That was kind of my point.
They learned nothing except what they learned in Ghost Save versus Shinken, that other teams are kind of cool.
Everyone who's not them.
Yeah. That's why I said other teams.
Yeah.
And finally, Guy is watching it all towards the end because the Gokaigers can't actually do anything without his say-so now.
Well, I do like that, though, because, again, that's the beginning transitions from Bosco flashing those keys, basically, and the end transitions from showing Guy, and next episode is Guy. So this is basically like episode 16.5.
Yeah. I mean, it pretty much works that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like with Kamen Rider Double Forever.
Yeah, which was like 45 and a half, I think.
45 and a half, yeah, basically.
I can never remember which episode it was where the Futo Tower was down from the movie. I guess it was 46, wasn't it?
Yeah, it'd be the one after 45 and a half.
Or 44.
Well, no, it would have been an odd number.
It's 44. It was 44 and a half. Because Hera died and...
also, remember, two-part stories.
Yeah. Well, have fun editing the show down, XV.
Well, I've got all the notes. I mean, it's not going to be any more difficult than usual. It'll just take a little longer.
That's what she said.
Uh-huh. Well, that was whatever the name of the damn movie was. Boy, that took a while.
Kind of a long movie.
It's 10 o'clock now.
It's 11 o'clock now.
Yeah, it's 11 o'clock for most of the people here.
Yes.
I believe that's the latest we've run recording the show.
And it's an exceptionally long movie, so I guess it's a little justified.
And we had a lot of Ghost Ranger to talk about.
More importantly, though, we had 40 minutes of new toy stuff that we talked about first.
Yeah, it's like everything just decided to congeal into 1 week.
Yes. This is going to be the worst, longest show ever.
A little short.
Yeah, if you average them out, it comes up just fine.
Sure.
So, especially with the 45-minute long special for Samurai that got like 15 seconds.
More than it deserved.
We did that in 8.5 minutes by my time code.
Way more than it deserved.
So does anybody have any ideas for what to talk about next week? Because I don't have anything planned.
Yes.
What?
The Geki Ranger episode with Chibi Red.
Yeah, I saw you. The only thing I can describe it is you squeeing about it on Twitter.
The episode was balls out crazy. Either that or the episode where Retsu gets drunk and beats up bitches.
I was going to say Mega Ranger, but that's fine too.
No, wait, which episode did he get drunk and beat up bitches? I don't.
It's the one with the three sisters that try and steal the elephant's diamond.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that episode. That one was kind of weird.
Yeah, both those episodes are like the shining high points of weirdness so far in Geki Ranger, what I've seen.
Although we did do...
Well, no, I'll take that back, the Christmas episode's up there, too.
So we did just do Geki Ranger.
What, Ken?
We did just do Geki Ranger about a month ago.
Did we?
The movie?
The Hong Kong movie.
That seems like it was more than a month ago.
Yes.
Suggest something else.
Yeah, Ken.
I already said my suggestion.
I forgot what it was already.
Man! Now let's go get Geki Ranger.
Your answer's not important because Fort Max isn't listening.
No Fort Max. No Metal
Heroes. No, I forgot what it was, too.
See? Prove my point. Fort Max isn't listening.
You were talking over my inner dialogue. I didn't hear you.
Sorry, I was monologuing.
Said Geki Ranger, but Geki Ranger's fine.
Well, we did just do Geki Ranger a month ago, allegedly.
Well, maybe fine.
Okay, what have we not done recently, then?
We can do that Kabuto episode with Drake and the makeup fight.
Oh, God.
But then we have to do another Kabuto episode, and nobody seems to be for that.
Well, the last Kabuto thing we did was Godspeed Love and Will. Did we cover the first episode of Kabuto at one point?
We saw it in English.
The dub.
That's right, yeah.
Screw it. Just do Geki Ranger. Actually, Retsu beating up bitches or Chibi John actually sounds fine.
Oh, but which one to pick? Mickey?
Flip a coin.
I don't know. It's a toss-up. Both of them are about equal on the weirdness scale.
Personally, I'd vote for beating up bitches.
I'm interested in anything that makes Retsu interesting.
We'll do whichever one
you want.
Yeah,
we'll do that then. Yeah, that's a good.
You're just responsible for, you know, summarizing it.
Who is, me or Ken?
Well, it can't be Ken because now he'll be prepared for that because you suggested it.
Oh.
It's no fun unless I throw him under
the
bus.
Well, I thought we just summarized it. Retsu gets drunk and beats up bitches.
Okay, so we don't need to do that episode next week. No, that one's fine. We'll do that. What episode number would that be?
Durr.
That would have been handy.
1 second.
Because I'm pretty sure that's not listed in the fan sub list as the episode where Retsu gets drunk and beats up bitches.
Hold on a second.
It should be, but it probably isn't.
I might still have this episode saved. Let me see.
I got all of Geki Ranger on discs, but heck if I remember which one it is.
I have it all on hard drive, but I haven't even seen that far yet. So
it's in the mid to late 30s. Eh. Oh, here it is, 36.
So that would be after Go and Ken show up.
Oh, yeah, way after. They showed up like at the end of the 20s.
It's been a while since I've watched all the way through.
Go got kind of the short end of the stick with his introduction.
Well,
he gets like three episodes to himself, and new character, time to forget about you.
Yeah. Well, you know, once you found out that he just wears that leather jacket with no shirt, I mean, that's pretty much all you had to know about him. That and the whole hitting his forehead thing.
Yeah. That and his extremely disappointing Megazord.
Yeah, the one that was the first Megazord with a different leg.
Yeah.
Well, it kept the toy in production. Or in circulation, whatever. My headset keeps falling off. Because I have to wear
it all greasy or something, or?
No, I have to wear two headsets, so the second one tends to fall off.
Why don't you just tape them together?
Because sometimes I don't want to have the second headset because I don't need the microphone.
Well, then use twist ties.
But then I'd have to tie it together every time. Plus, I think even if I use the twist ties, it wouldn't necessarily stay how I need it to.
Then just keep them in your hands.
What I need to do is get another copy of the second headset, which has the better microphone, and just use that. Except now they're out of production and are absurdly expensive for being crappy, cheap headsets. Like, I bought this one originally for $6 on clearance, and now I have to pay like $15 for one. That's just stupid, considering I paid $6 for this one to start with.
On clearance?
Yes.
Did we end the show or not?
Good night.
I don't think so.
No, but we really should, I think, yes.
Only 3 hours.
Well, I believe that's exactly what I predicted when we started the show.
Damn it, XV.
No. Usually it would be longer than the prediction.
And as you recall, I also said that doing the Sentai 199 movie would take about an hour, which Mickey argued against. But as it turns out...
Well, you know, it would have been shorter, you know, if y'all didn't go off topic.
If Fort Max didn't keep talking. Damn it, Fort Max. Fort Max is our decade, too.
Yeah, as we established, no talking on the podcast.
It's inappropriate.
Yes. Unless it's about your mother.
Well,
okay,
everything
so,
she does is inappropriate.
Yes. That will be our show for this week. Thank you for listening the whole way through, assuming you have, which you haven't, so never mind.
If you cheated and skipped to the end, that doesn't count.
Right. Yes, there's going to be a quiz on this next week, so you better pay attention. So next week we're doing Geki Ranger Retsu Gets Drunk and Punches Bitches, otherwise known as Episode 36. And that will be, you know, probably disappointing compared to the summary just now, because most of the things end up that way.
But it'll be brief compared to this week's Power Playback, so...
Well, there'll probably be a much shorter show because all the news happened this week, too, so there won't be anything to talk about next time.
Why did you say that?
To make it so that there will be a lot of news next week so we have something to talk about.
Bastard.
Snowbuster pictures are going to show up now.
Oh, God, they will.
Oh, and probably, like, actual information about the next Deno movie.
Oh, yeah.
That'll happen, too.
Of course.
Isn't there the rumor right now that Takeru Sato might actually come back?
Which is how you know that it's fake.
Yeah, probably.
Because he's busy being Kenshin right now.
Oh, I think that's they already filmed all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's probably filmed by now.
Actually, I think that movie actually came out last month.
I don't think it's come out yet. I think it comes out next year.
I thought it was supposed to come out this fall.
When does the Ranma movie come out?
There's an OAV coming out that they just put a trailer up for.
I think live-action Ranma may have started.
Ranma is just a special, I think, for now.
Yeah, I think it may have already aired, because I thought I saw some people talking about it.
I've seen it. That casting looks amazing.
But I saw a trailer of it. It looks like terribly low-budget, like, even for this show.
Well, Ranma was pretty low-budget, too, so...
Yeah, I know that, but it looks... The filming looks a little cheap.
So it's like the one camera, one mic.
How does that compare to Gene Reno Doraemon?
Nothing compares to Gene Reno Doraemon.
So does live action ROM? Is it like the one camera, one microphone setup kind of thing, or?
That's what it looked like.
What?
That's what it looked like just from the trailer.
So. Porno quality.
this is the bush we are beating around, yes.
Well, no, I mean, it's
Tondres.
It's the same thing I was talking about last week with the show that Iams actress did last year about the bikini high school.
Bringing up.
Well, this time I'm only bringing it up because it's the same filming style. Except that it has an excuse to look like porn because, you know, it's like two steps removed from being.
That many?
Yeah, probably. I'm pretty sure the bikinis always stay on, so.
No, no.
Aww.
No. Two steps or two? Two whole steps?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know.
Any more, and they would have, like, two microphones instead of just one. You know, the more steps removed you are from the porn, the better the budget and the more equipment you have.
No, no.
And also, he said the bikinis stay on, so the next step between that and actual porn is Cinemax, so, you know.
Yes. Yes, that's very true.
Yeah. Okay.
Now that we've, now that we've got our porn hierarchy sorted out here. And I think that'll be
important as fried chicken hierarchy.
I actually did make fried chicken for dinner tonight.
Nice.
No grease fires, but that wasn't my fault the last time that happened either.
Of course not.
We believe you.
If you were in there, it wouldn't have happened. So yes, it is your fault.
The chicken was okay, but it wasn't as flavorful as the last time I made it. I don't think I seasoned it enough. Not enough cumin. Which
I cumin'd your mom.
Yeah. Cumin makes everything taste better.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
What's going on with my microphone?
Wow.
My microphone's falling off my face.
Yeah, I noticed from the sound.
That's okay, I can cut that out in post, because I'm on my own audio track.
Of course.
Well, I am the most important one here.
That ain't saying much.
Well, it means a lot to me.
That ain't saying much.
Whatever helps you sleep at night.
Well, I'm not getting much of that lately either, so.
Oh, well, never mind.
Liquor.
That's the answer to everything.
Yeah.
Well, there's not much of that lately either. He drank it all.
that's what liquor stores are invented for.
I was about to say, that explains a lot.
Yeah, don't they have one of the drive-through places you can go to?
Oh, God.
Close down.
Oh.
It's like my doctor's office is right across from one. When I went there today. Fortunately, I don't drink.
You should go in there and ask him like how often you see his doctor in there.
Oh God.
Well, there's a funny story I have about that actually. An old farm veterinarian who used to work around here, his office was about two blocks down from a liquor store.
This is even a block.
And so it's just generally understood that if you want your pet tended to, you want to go before lunchtime.
God.
Because you see, at lunchtime he'll tend to drive his, you know, rather large truck down the street to the liquor store, be gone for a couple of hours, and then when he comes back, it's really just not such good service anymore for the rest of the day.
My goodness gracious.
Alas, he has since retired, but, you know.
Alas.
Me and Ben were leaving, we're going to the liquor store one day, and leaving the liquor store, we saw one of the local TV newscasters heading out with several boxes of wine slipping into the back of a truck that was parked in a fire zone, or fire lane.
We
ask the guy behind the counter who's, you know, Indian and awesome, and like he's old but he's really cool. So is that what's her name from the news? He said, yeah, she's in here all the time.
Liquor stores have the best stories around them.
I know.
Well, speaking of
that actually reminds me, I think they passed in Georgia that way they're going to be starting to sell liquor on or alcohol on Sundays soon, apparently. But they haven't, it hasn't, we haven't, our stores have not been approved for it yet. So I opened up on Sunday morning and like it's 10 minutes till 7. I get a call, and what's the question in the call? Are you selling alcohol today?
Because they needed it at 7 morning. In the morning.
Not even sunlight out yet. I got here at dark 30, and there's not even the slightest hint of sunlight.
Well, they're still drinking from last night, and they need to tough off.
Exactly.
Yeah, the buzz is fading away, and they got to fix this shit.
I mean, how will they sleep away their Sunday without their intoxicants?
I'm just like, I mean, I'm as polite as can be. I'm like, no, sir, they haven't approved that yet.
You like, should have been like, oh, hell yeah, we got it. And you give them, like, the wrong address to go to?
No, we are. No, this guy sounded completely sober. I mean, it could have been a perfectly innocent question. It's just, maybe I thought I was like, 6:50 on Sunday morning.
It could be an ATF sting, seeing if you were selling early.
Oh, God. Mm. Well, actually, as he listed off places that had said that they are, I'm like, no.
Well, at least you have somewhere to go.
There's that.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.